Welcome to episode 72 of the Crippled System podcast. Now with 100% more Jeremy.
I'm pretty sure it always had 100% of Jeremy.
Then there would be two Jeremys, and there's only one Jeremy.
Yeah, Kofi's not here.
Yeah. Well, he's in my heart is an empty chair. He's
that's true.
That's my foot chair.
Oh, your foot chair.
Kofoot.
Oh. Yeah.
See, that's funny for us, but no one else.
My name is Brian, and I play the Scorn. It's always the Scorn now.
Is it the Scorn?
The Scorn.
The Scorn. It's like the Craig. My name is Nathan, and I play Convergence of Cirrus.
My name is Katie, and I play Circle.
My name is Jeremy, Valiant418 on the forums. I play Rhett and Legion, both very badly recently.
And on Chat Roulette.
I don't actually play Chat Roulette.
Oh, you should. Well, it's fun.
It's not.
You play it badly.
There was a chance. There was a time when Chat Roulette you had like at least a non-zero chance of seeing something besides dicks. That time has passed.
They've cracked down on the dicks a lot. Now it's just people. Yeah. Now it's just people doing weird stuff.
Like what?
Song. You'll flip someone. Someone's just like performing.
Yeah. There's the one guy that did like the Katy Perry parody, and then that same guy did Wrecking Ball, which is, you know, because of course he's like a hairy goon looking guy. I saw one recently where the guy was just drawing people. Like, he just had a little message up saying, "I will draw you," and he'd have people just hold still and he just sketched them.
That's kind of cool.
Was he actually good at sketching them, or was it like stick people?
No, it was, you know,
because it would have been funnier if he was like, "I'll draw you," and they're like,
"It was
draw me like one of your friends."
It was caricature level talent.
That's fair. That's kind of cool.
And then he like sent it to them, or it was just like, "There's a drawing of you."
They
can
take a screenshot. I don't know what you want.
Like, now I have your picture forever. Yay!
Creepy.
Go ahead, Andy.
I was waiting. My name is Andy, Major Tusk, and I play stuff.
Chat Roulette. I play packing.
You do play packing. This weekend and next weekend at the very least.
Yeah.
Hey, the good news is the ants appeared right as you were leaving.
Yeah. Did they disappear again?
No, they're gone.
Good.
I killed them.
Loki ate them all.
No.
That's weird.
A little chocolate on them, chocolate-covered ants.
Hey, do you remember that one time when my other cat got an ant stuck on her tongue?
No.
You don't remember? It was our previous apartment before Ryan moved down to Arizona. And, you know, like those big black ants?
Sure.
My cat Cleo was playing with it. Was messing with it, went to eat it, and it clamped down on her tongue.
I'll bet she didn't enjoy that.
No, she did not.
Those things have quite a bite for their size.
Yeah.
One time when I lived in the South, there's a giant, like the giant red ants.
Fire ants
by our front steps that were also brick, because everything is brick in the South. And so I fell down the steps and got like a huge, you know, gash in my leg and landed in the fire ant pile. And it was not pleasant.
So they were in you.
They were in me.
That's great.
It hurt a lot.
I was watching a video of somebody who, he exterminates fire ants by dumping molten lead into their
thing. That was really
their thing,
cool.
And then he digs out and then washes it off. And so he has this cool
art.
And then he just
sells
it.
He did it with different kinds of ants, too. He had, like, I saw online, like, videos for different kinds of ants. I was like, that's amazing.
Well, he gets paid as an exterminator, and then he sells the molten metal. Like, right? He sells it again. Like, that's just double dipping.
Wait a minute. I have a question, though. Do different kinds of ants have different homes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that.
This one was, like, 6 feet down into the ground.
Yeah.
It was
kind of terrifying. You've seen the termite piles over in,
like, in Africa.
Africa that they pour plaster down.
Indiana Jones in that crystal thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those ants in the crystal meth.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That movie never happened.
No, yes, I saw them. It wasn't, like, for the art thing. It was for a documentary on the Discovery Channel, but they did that with one of those big ones in Africa.
Oh, geez.
And this thing was, like, 10 feet deep and 30 feet across, and it was just gigantic. And it was interesting because they showed stuff like it had – if you think about ships, like the big cruise ships or whatever, they have those chimney-looking things that come up and curve forward.
Sure.
In case you didn't know, what those are for is as the ship goes along, air gets pushed into those, and that's how you get fresh air inside the ship. Otherwise, everybody would just die. And the ant tunnels had those. They came up, and they faced the correct direction for the prevailing winds where they lived so that the normal breeze would come into their nest so that they wouldn't all suffocate. And they're talking about how an ant can't possibly be that smart, but somehow the whole colony together is that smart. And it's just this weird kind of exponential intelligence where as a group they can figure out the concept of an air vent pointing to the northwest.
Which is
interesting. That's just scary.
Well, people in mass quantities become dumber. Ants in mass quantities become smarter. It's an interesting
problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting that that's how they work. You know, they don't have the individuality where one ant is like, I will invent the air tunnels. It's just as a group, they're all like, somehow now we're smart enough.
You find I've the seen ant the bug's life.
Yeah. You find the ant wearing the little smart hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. With tuck and roll. The best pill bugs ever.
They were kind of funny. Wow, we are like high energy today.
Announcements!
Folks.
Yay, announcements!
Brian, you didn't do your announcement song.
Announcements!
It's my new announcement.
Announcements!
He's doing hip hop songs now,
apparently.
There's too many announcements. Not enough time for song singing. I'm not going to go through all these. What's okay?
Just announcement. Listen to the same list from last week.
Yeah, basically, next week there's a thing in Chicago. Next week there's a thing in Iowa, in Des Moines.
Should we like cut it off to be like 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah,
that's
what I'm
going to
do.
Tournaments.
Cedar Rapids, the 31st event. Woohoo! Lock and Load's the first weekend in June.
Jordan's excited that the Shades aren't making it on the 31st because that means he's probably going to win by default.
No.
It's him and Andy. You
have
a
shot.
It'll be down to him and
Andy.
Andy,
I think, has
I have a lead
you
over Jordan.
You have a lead?
He has a
one-point
lead on Jordan.
I thought you were behind slightly.
He was a point behind me and a point ahead of Jordan.
Yeah, but Andy has to find a way there.
Yeah.
True. Andy has to get there.
Currently, he probably has a way there.
Yes, I would imagine.
Yeah, and we could make Jordan not... make him drive himself.
Currently, Andy and Jordan's way there is the same way there, so... That'd be funny.
That would be funny.
I can tell him that I can watch his dog, and the last man be like, oh, I can't, and then he won't have a dog sit, and he won't know
what it is. It's just funny to me that, like, I was doing so well, and now I'm not going to be able to go. Sad face. That's okay. I'll be having super fun. Katie and I are going to D.C.,
Nathan.
So that'll be fun.
I've never been to D.C. before.
I know.
Jordan doesn't have to ride with us.
D.C. will be neat, except for the one where the terrorist side attack.
I will buy you Long John Silver's dinner.
If I don't let Jordan ride.
If you don't let Jordan go.
Fuck tempting. You, Jordan.
Jordan might counteroffer Long John Silver's.
He would counteroffer like 2 meals from Long John Silver's. That's how you got to do it.
Yeah, that's true. You got to get him in a bidding
just
war.
Just get a bidding war. Like, that's the... In my country, the currency is Long John Silver's meals. Like, you finance your house. It's like, it costs 47,000 Long John Silver's meals.
Yep.
So I found out that June 14th, there's a Milwaukee event. June 7th, there's also a Madison event, but it's full, so you can't go. June 14th, there's an event in Milwaukee, but there's also Origins going on, which I've never gone to. Keith Hooks is trying to get us to go.
I saw that.
Maybe if he has to stay at his house.
Where is Origins?
Origins in Columbus, Ohio.
I don't
know.
Is
that correct?
To stay at his house.
That's correct.
Origins, if it's Columbus, Ohio, that's not that bad.
If he lets us stay at his house, we'll be nice to him.
Well, let's not...
Don't overpromise.
For like a day.
We'll say we'll be... Okay, I got you. Wink, wink, Katie. We will speed. But
you say that, and then once you get there and get the keys to the house...
I am always nice to the captain in person. Because the captain is awesome in person.
From my understanding, Origins...
I do not understand your guys' Keith Hooks hate.
It's only Brian and Katie.
Why do you guys hate him?
I don't hate him. It's just he takes it so well. Like, he's just like... He's like Jeremy, only he just smiles all the time.
Okay.
And then he offers me a beer. I don't understand. He's so good. That's why you got to make fun
the thing
of him.
Is,
Jeremy's married to you and has to take it.
That's true. That's fair. Not wrong.
His smile is gone.
Along with my spirit.
My unsureness about Origins is the last... It used to be a really big event, but the last couple of years, Origins has been pretty small.
Has it?
So, like, as small as a little... So I don't know what the term... So if someone should post on our thread on Muse and
let me
us know...
Ask this. Is it a qualifier?
I don't know. It's
let's
not.
Pause for a second. What just broke Andy?
I was just thinking of a new t-shirt.
Oh, dear God.
The picture of Jeremy's face again.
Okay.
As most t-shirts
as
have.
As most teachers have. And then have the war spiral down at the bottom.
And just have the
spirit. And just have the spirit of being...
That is amazing, actually. That's actually really cool.
We need a whole chain. We can have like 30 shirts, all of which just have Jeremy's face on the front, and the back is different. So when you see somebody, you don't know, like, it's like a gotta catch them all kind of thing.
Well, no, like, I feel like with the... We could do all five of us crippled system on the back. Like, my spirit's out, and then, like, Katie's mind is out, and then, like...
What? Because you're dumb.
Yeah, because you don't pay attention on the podcast.
What?
We'd each have an aspect out.
Which aspect do you have to check out to make something unfuckable?
I mean, the body.
Okay, so Katie's body is out.
No,
what?
That's not true. And I didn't say it.
Just your mind.
No, just my mind. Apparently,
it would have been funny.
That's Lewis's joke, and you took it from
him. I know it's Lewis's joke. It's an amazing joke. All right,
and then there's other events. Also the butt of it.
Yes.
I wish there was a way that we could broadcast the stare that you just gave to Jeremy.
Well, I get that stare a lot. Just come see me at any tournament ever and just see the look Katie gives me.
If Katie shows up.
If Katie's there.
There's like a 10% chance.
Well, she'll visit at local events if she doesn't play. Shouldn't she play in a good portion of them?
Yeah, she does.
So there's a lot more announcements, but we don't care about it. It's too far out.
Okay, I have emails that are sort of announcement-y. Not really announcement-y, but like, I got to meet the Game Night folks when we were in St. Louis, and they wanted me to mention their podcast. So they do alternating podcast videocast each, like one, I think they release it every 2 weeks.
What's
so
it called?
It's called
Boom Chakalaka.
Your Turn Go. Sorry, I totally forgot it because it's in the title of the email and that's hard to see. Your Turn Go, and it features Stu Nami. It features John, who's John Monroe, if you guys know him from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And it features a third guy whose name isn't in the email, so I don't remember who it is. But anyway, they do mostly board game type stuff because you guys saw Game Night, you saw Game Night.
Yeah.
You saw Game Night. You didn't see Game Night. Game Night's full of board games.
Like that pointing was helpful on the audio podcast.
What I would have done if I didn't remember somebody's name is I would just mention nobody's name and been like, it's got a bunch of really cool guys who you should listen to.
Well, Katie, the point is you're an idiot, though, so obviously that's the wrong way to go.
Your mind is up, Katie. Shut up.
So anyway, they alternate between videocasts and podcasts, and it's really fun, and they talk about board games and stuff. So if you're into board games, highly recommend it. And then we got, of the people that we asked to email us their address, thank you, David Brewerton. You emailed us your address very well. Thomas Kosturin and Richie Kammer did not. So
Jeremy Kofoot did not either.
Well, we told Jeremy
God
he didn't have
damn
to.
It, Jeremy Kofoot.
He was supposed to.
We told him he didn't have to. So anyway.
Well, now he is supposed to.
Okay, now he has to. All right.
Then. Yeah.
And then somebody is sending us a preview copy of a game. So hopefully we'll have a review for that in a couple of weeks. I think it'll actually be here next week.
Their Kickstarter starts, I think, in middle of June.
Correct.
Or, yes.
Yeah, middle of June sounds right. And then somebody sent us a Kickstarter that unfortunately already ended before we got a chance to talk about it. But if you're interested in getting it post-Kickstarter, my understanding is it'll still be available to purchase. It's an iPad or Android tablet game, and it's called Armello, A-R-M-E-L-L-O. And I'll go ahead and put a post to
it
the Kickstarter.
It should offer a Game Center points. If it wants me to play it.
It should.
I think even if it's stopped on Kickstarter, a lot of those will actually still continue on a little bit further using PayPal.
It looks really, really cool. The art looks really good for it. And the idea of the game sounds fun. I haven't played it, so I can't say for sure on the gameplay, but it sounds fun. And it was designed by people in Australia, so it's automatically awesome because Australia's awesome.
So, I watched awesome. Dirty Jobs Australia version this week. I visited my mom, and she always has like Animal Planet on. I don't usually watch those channels, but she had Dirty Jobs Australia was on, and he had like they were capturing the brown spiders.
Recluse.
Spiders, the brown spiders.
Yeah, funnel whip.
No, those are
the huntsman.
No, it's a
the brown recluse
snake. Brown snake. So.
Oh.
That's brown. Totally different.
Correct. We kept naming spiders, and you're like, no, it's a spider.
Yeah. No, I stopped, and I thought, I think I made a mistake. The spider is like the brown spider. Like their bite
it's a snake.
It's still a snake.
They're all gross. That episode is about snakes.
Is it a jackal?
No. And then later on, he was dealing with crocodiles or alligators, whichever one's down there. I always forget.
Crocodiles
are in Australia. This is very interesting, because he was like, they had to capture these snakes.
Good job.
That would kill a person in like 20 minutes.
Do you know there's a thing called sea alligators that also live near Australia?
Yeah, yep, I'm aware. So they take the snakes, and he's like, he wants to, when they capture me, like, can we kill him now? They're like, no, it's against animal cruelty to kill him. Like, well, if it bites me, I'll die. He's like, yeah, but I can't kill it. No, we have to release it. We have to release it back in the wild near where we caught it. So I have to let it go over in the yard over there, a few feet away from the house. It's fine. Yep.
Because there's no way it's just coming back to the
house. He's like, are you sure? I can kill it right now. And then he's like, yep, I just let go three killer snakes. I feel really good right now.
I feel good about myself.
I can't wait to go back home.
There's nothing in Australia that doesn't want to murder you.
Yeah. Especially
people. But snakes including always want to murder you.
I was watching a video the other day of
Central Australia seems to be the worst. Like you want to go like a Perth or the other.
There's a reason everyone lives on the coast.
Well, but then all the things in the ocean right there want to kill you.
Well, you can ignore the water a lot easier than just like ignoring walking outside and having like a thing jump at you. Like the sharks aren't going to come out of the water.
So I was watching a video of these male kangaroos fighting like for dominance, and they sleeper hold each other to death, which is crazy. And so this video, like, the kangaroos, they're rearing up and they're kicking each other, trying to disembowel each other. And then one of them, he gets the one and he drives down the ground. And then he just, like, punches him in the head a few times. And then he lets him stand up just enough to get the sleeper hold. And he does the sleeper hold. And so the other kangaroo is, like, slowly fading. And he's, like, twitching and trying to smack it away. And the whole time, the kangaroo that's winning is staring directly into the camera of the cameraman filming it.
Oh,
and it's straight up like a serial killer horror movie moment. Because you can just see the kangaroo, like, you're next. I'm coming for you.
Oh.
Oh my god. He lets go and the other kangaroo just flaps limply to the ground. He just keeps staring at the cameraman for like 45 seconds. And I'm just like, I'd be shitting my pants and driving away so quickly.
Yeah. I would be using an armored vehicle.
How do you know it wasn't on a tripod and the guy was already booking
just
it?
Booking it. Yeah, that,
I'm just, out.
Just staring, just like, I'm going to get you next, bitch.
That's not very nice.
Kangaroos are not nice.
No, they're not.
Probably say that like, in an Australian accent.
They taste all right, though.
They do taste all right.
Fine.
I had some really
well. A little gamey, but they're all
right. I
like
gamey.
Yeah.
But most other animals don't kill their opponent.
He didn't kill it. They sleeper hold it into unconsciousness.
Okay, because originally you said until death.
You did say to death.
Well,
spider snake death
to unconsciousness.
Okay. Solid state. They're all
maybe death. You're cutting off blood flow to the brain. Like you're not coming back from that. Okay.
It's not. You'll never be the same.
Like because they don't just like, hey, I'm on top. I win now. And the other one's like, okay, like it's full on cut off blood flow to the brain for like a minute until he just goes into a coma.
Yeah.
Like, so he might be dead.
He might
could. Happen.
I mean. Or, thing or his come mind around, might be out. Like a jackal.
Yeah, eat him while he's sort of alive. That's kind of terrifying. That's actually really terrifying. Why did you bring that up?
Hey, at least Dingo's never actually ate a baby. That bitch made it up.
Did she?
Yeah, she killed her baby because she was insane, and then she's like, a dingo did it. So, yeah, dingo, not so much with the baby eating.
Interesting.
That's the joke.
So then we had one other email that I wanted to...
Wait. No, it's not the joke. Sorry.
That's not a joke. It's horrible.
No.
That's the joke. I don't know.
We had one other email that I thought was actually worth a little bit of discussion. I posted it for you guys ahead of time. Some of you, by some of you, I mean Katie, because I made her do it right before we came over, read it ahead of time. So I'm going to read it real quick, and then we can talk a little bit about it. I've recently gotten into playing War Machine seriously after starting Signar and realizing that Gunline is no fun line. I disagree. Gunlines are amazing, by the way. I decided to take a step back and look at the models I like the look of and style, which suits me. Strangely enough, this led me to Crix, so he's kind of like Nathan and Brian that way, and Andy to some extent. I play debuff characters in other games and like support casters who do a lot for their armies, but aren't super solos. I also love undead stuff, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the problem I'm worried about is that people will just stop and say they lost to Crix rather than me as a player. I see a lot of Crix hate, and while I understand a little as a new player, mostly I can't grasp how some people hate on Crix so much. If I win, I'm concerned my opponent will think the result came because Crix was on the table. As a Legion player, I'm sure Jeremy must understand this a bit, as they're seen as the broken faction lords. I'd like to correct this slightly by saying I have to win games before people would think that about Legion or me.
Jeremy's skilled. He can lose with Legion.
I can lose with Legion. So how do you get over people denying your skill in this game and just see your faction as a counter to theirs? I suppose in a wider context, there's always the saying of this is a bad matchup for me, but how do you deal with that? And then finally, is there such a thing as a bad matchup at all, or is it mostly just a psychological thing? Anyway, thanks for great shows, blah, 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 toodle pips. So, what do you guys think about Pip's question?
Well, first of all, I want to say that somebody in our meta won with Emorvana, and then, like, very closely to them, somebody was like, well, the only reason he won was because he was playing Emorvana, and then that person stopped showing up for, like, months.
Did it happen? Unrelated.
Well, it's not unrelated, because
months, almost a year.
People need to stop saying that somebody can only win because of X. Because it's just not true. Like, it took skill to learn how to play that caster and to execute it properly. And, like, part of this is not his problem. Part of it is everyone else's problem, saying being poor losers.
Yeah, basically. Certain factions have a more default safety net. Crix is a faction where you can make more mistakes and still win games.
Sure.
There are factions, I would say, Circle, where the skill level is higher, but you can kick a lot of butt in it. But there is not a safety net in a lot of that list. So
I agree 100% with that. What I've said oft times with War Machine specifically, ignoring Hordes for a moment, is I think Menoth is the best faction if you are a flawless player and play perfectly. I think they're just amazing. But Crix is so forgiving. Like the quintessential example is if you lose 9 out of 10 Zealots, that 10th Zealot is just limping around throwing one bomb, good for him. If you lose 9 out of 10 Bile Thralls, that last Bile Thrall wipes out 20 points worth of your opponent's army.
Yep.
Like, you have this safety net, and people complain about that, but that doesn't mean Crix is better, and it still means... I don't think anybody at, like, high... You won't hear people at high-level tournaments, like at Masters or Gen Con or any of that stuff, be like, oh, you just won with Crix. Nobody says that.
No.
Nobody says that.
No, and I mean, I think it's somewhat telling that Keith Christensen, who's a really good player in his own right, won the year that he won the War Machine Qualifier was with Signar.
Yeah.
And he's one of the better Crix players out there.
He had a Merc unit in his list. Wasn't really Signar.
Oh, and they did have to, you know, rewind the game. But other than that, he's a good player.
Yeah, that did happen. But my point is, he didn't do that with Crix. He's really good with Crix. He's a legitimately good player with Crix.
Knack just won both of the big tournaments at Adepticon with Mercs.
Yep, 100%.
Both of them.
Yeah. At the top, at the very top level game, it comes down to specific yeah. casters more than it comes down to factions at the very top level.
I would agree. And I think
that there are bad matchups. If you bring something that's meant to kill a colossal and somebody brings a bunch of infantry, like, you're not going to have as much infantry killing stuff.
Yeah, there are 100% bad matchups.
You bring up a shooty list that has to face off against a whole entire faction that's all stealth.
Or E-Kruger.
Yeah, it's going to suck for those specific matchups, but there's a lot of fish in that sea. I mean, there's over 140 casters. Each one is stylized to handle their own specific
That's
matchup.
The whole reason for the multiple list format in Steamroller. Yeah, right. Like, list chicken, the list choosing portion of the game matters because there are such things as bad matchups. And if anybody ever... If you can John Damaris say, oh, this is a bad matchup. But there are honest bad matchups. Sure. And anybody who won't admit that... I mean, if you bitch and moan and complain and say, I only lost because it was a bad matchup, well, you're being kind of a dick to your opponent. But it might be true.
Right.
Because if your opponent refused, well, I just beat you because I'm way better. Well, maybe it was a little bit of a bad matchup. But
I know.
You both need to admit it, but not harp on it.
I think everyone would say that E-Gatsby... P. Haley is E. Gatsby's silver bullet, and I know.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Keith won that matchup before playing E. Gatsby.
But it is a bad matchup.
It is a bad matchup. It comes down to when you sit down, and you're like, oh crap, this is a rough battle. You have to go, okay, well, where is it? Okay, focus on this terrain, focus on the scenario. There's ways to mitigate it, but there definitely is matchups where you're like, oh my god, this is a game. If my opponent plays perfectly or even just above average, I can't win this game. Yep. Which in some ways annoys me, because when you have like a list chicken. Like with Scorn, I have lists that are better against some things and better than other things, but I don't really have like a too bad of a silver bullet against me, yeah. Which is why I like Scorn more than Crix in some ways.
Crix does have silver
bullets. But I mean, I'll sit down against someone, they're like, okay, if I sit down against like Convergence, they're probably going to get Xerxes 9 times out of 10.
Sure.
And I'm, you know, or, you know, there's just a thing that's going to happen. But then your opponent, well, they know that. Yeah, exactly. Your opponent kind of knows it's going to happen, so then they can pick the list that's going to be better against that.
Yep.
And even if I flip lists, I'm still worse off for myself.
Yeah.
But then there are matchups with certain factions where literally there's two lists for each person has, and the right combination is good for one person, the other combination is good for the other person. There's no like equal matchup there. There's these obscure, because skew lists are so popular nowadays.
At that point, you're almost just rock, scissors, paper. Like one of you is winning there, and it's kind of, yeah. You just don't know.
And that saddens me a little bit that exists at the scale it does, but it is what it is.
And some factions struggle that worse from others. I would say that the two biggest factions that struggle from list chicken, because they have so many good silver bullet options, is Signar and Rhett. Both Signar and Rhett. Like, if I knew which caster you were going to play ahead of time, I could build a list that could probably beat you 70% of the time. But against the broad field, you'll have a lot of bad matchups in that silver bullet list.
Right.
And both Rhett and Signar struggle from that a lot. And it's not... It certainly by no means makes them unplayable, but I think it's something that I noticed going from Rhett to Legion is, like you said, the difference between Crix and Scorn. Like, I went to Legion, I was like... I could play either list in this matchup, but I don't understand.
You don't have that. Like, you don't have the percentage in your favor, but you don't have the percentage against you either.
Right, and it's a completely different ballgame. And I think that that's something that a lot of people discount when they sit down and they go, oh, well, E-Gatsby is just my bad matchup. Well, no, you could have, in any faction, you could build a list that silver bullets E-Gatsby. It might be bad against 90% of the field, but every faction has a list that can rape E-Gatsby, in my opinion. It just might make you bad against 90% of the field.
Wording.
Sorry. Yes, that will destroy E-Gatsby.
Thank you.
I apologize, but it, and some factions can build a list that's 70% against E-Gatsby without breaking a sweat.
Nathan's not trying to use the word rape out of context.
Oh yeah.
So
I think as a podcast, it's
still a good way.
It's probably
to be.
Good.
Yeah, since we're the podcast of positivity now,
we are the. I wasn't much on my intro. We are the last positive source of information out there for the world.
News on the
how
planet.
We became the speaking of source. We could just go, everything sucks for 45 minutes like some podcasts. not to name names.
By the way, I didn't realize that there is something in the errata besides the conversion things, and then I noticed afterwards.
The errata is a completely different thing. Yeah.
Whatever. And the thing where you were that there was like this whole like out of formation thing. Uh-huh. I totally missed that conversation last week. Mm-hmm. I was busy.
You were.
Crush that candy.
Got it. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. I actually appreciate it.
I'm glad you agree with us retroactively.
Wow.
So anyway, I think does anyone have anything else on this topic?
Well, the other thing though is that we talked about a little bit beforehand on the podcast. I don't think that there is a bad faction in the game besides like things like minions. Because they don't have the tools.
If you try to play minions, one or the other, like if you try to play just gators or just pigs, I think you're really hamstringing yourself.
No, I do think Andy. I will agree with Andy that even if you play both, minions are behind. Like they're closer to the curve, but we're talking like, you know, you've got this pack and then they're lagging and they're like, come on guys, keep up. Whereas if you only play half, they're not even on the field.
Every year they get better, but it's a while.
The other thing, the other part of his question, sorry, did you want
to say something? I was going to say, they're kind of where, the minions are kind of where Rulik was a couple years ago, in a sense. I don't see many people out there playing pure Rulik at this time, but...
Well, it's the same with Rulik that it is with the Pigs or the Gators, is that if you're playing... If you are playing only one contractor pact, you're going to lose. You're crippling yourself. And as long as you're, I don't hate pure Searforge players as much as a lot of people do. As long as they're honest about it, you know, you can, if you love dwarfs and you want to play nothing but dwarfs, that's fine. As long as you go into it knowing that you're going to lose all the time because you're going to hit cricks and it's going to suck. Yep. And if you're okay with that, have fun. I only get mad at the people on the Merc forums like Rancor and whatnot, who are just like, dwarfs are the best, and they'll win all the time, and 100%, and if you don't win with them, it's because you suck. And that's a bad lie to spread out there to new players. Because new players will hear that and go, oh, okay, and they'll play, and then they'll lose, and then they'll feel bad about it.
Correct.
But that's a tangent.
But I wanted to say his other question... No, I forgot it. Damn it. What was his other question?
How do you win with a power faction and deal with people claiming it's not because of your skill?
No, then the other one was, how do you deal with people who create lists specifically against your list? You're not going to see that at tournaments. You're only going to see that in your local meta.
Well, when you play Krix, you see that.
You do see that when you play.
Everyone, when I'm playing my Krix, I know for sure I have every single one of my, I don't want to say quote-unquote good, but serious tournament opponents are going to have an anti-Krix list. So when I... And you can, when you're Krix playing, you look at this, you're like, yep, this list just kicks me in the ass. They're playing this list.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have an anti-Pip list, which is what you're saying, like Pip email. They like, only his local meta is going to say, Pip loves playing this list, so I'm going to play specifically against that list.
Yeah.
But when he hits the higher level things, there are going to be anti-Gaspy 2 lists. There's going to be anti-Denegra 1 list. You know, there's going to be this thing. And that's two different things.
And what a lot of Krix and so the big thing with Krix is to make a list that is still, a list that is good with Krix that breaks the mold, because if you follow the mold, I mean, and Gaspy 2 can still push the envelope pretty far, because let's be fair, even a good matchup against Krix, unless you're a few, Gaspy still has game.
What's that Denegra list that you have?
It's 13. It's Denegra,
Denny 1.
Denny 1, Nightmare Deathjack, Wrong Eye Snapjaw, 2 Ripjaws, 2 Pistol Race, 2 Warwatch Sirens, and like one more model. It's like 13 models.
Nobody builds a counter list to that.
No.
And nobody who loses to that is going to say, well, I just lost because you played Krix. You lost because a good player made it. Interesting list and use the skill both in list building and gameplay to beat you. And so you can avoid it somewhat by doing stuff like that. That's going to, number one, not going to do that. Oh, I just lost to Krix. And number two, you're not going to see people net deck against you.
Like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt.
You either have to own up to it and just play the list, play the Bane Thralls, Bane Knight Swarm, do that, or you can go wild card and play weird shit like that. But
yeah, you got to either skill your way through it, which someone like Keith can do quite often because he's just that good, or you got to just go a different
direction. Honestly, I think a lot of factions have a list like that. I would argue, and not all Kator players would agree with me, but I would argue that the Butcher 2 theme list, where you get just a million Doom Reavers and a Conquest, is in almost every situation a list you should be playing as one of your two Kator lists. It's that good, in my opinion.
It's super good.
It's that good. It has that many good matchups. It's really good against Krix, which is fantastic. Like, it's just that good.
But then flip side, somebody plays the Ocean's 13.
Right. And you're like, oh.
What?
So, like, I think that a lot of Ocean's 18.
Yeah. Which, 18?
What's Ocean's 18?
It's a list that's Sorsha and then just a million 2-point long range solos. Just with a couple of jacks, a couple of jacks. But it's just all these independent.
Think the only thing in it that's not a character is the Widowmakers.
Yeah, but it's just basically, like, the list just has a dozen and a half people that are each just, like, a long-range sniper. Most of them have stealth. They're just running around doing their thing, and it's annoying as all get up.
And the point of the list is Peace Orsha stationaries everything, and then they cripple your Cortex slash Spirit, so your Beast slash Jax can't shake it, and you're like, oh, sad.
Plus, it's great for picking out.
Plus, it's hilarious.
Support and...
But my point is, a lot of factions have a list like that. Signar has E. Haley. A lot of people would say if you're playing Signar and you're not playing E-Haley in one of your two lists, you're doing it wrong. A lot of people would say in Legion, if you're not playing E-Vale as one of your two lists, you're doing it wrong.
Well, and to change that, you're doing it wrong, to be more on point, is that those same lists, when you do run them, you're going to run into the thing you're complaining about.
You're
like,
run
the people
yeah.
that say, no, the other part that he's complaining about. As opposed to people saying, you just beat me because you run Crix, you'll be like, well, you just beat me because you just doomed me for spam, whatever.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, you're going to run into that no matter what faction you play. And honestly, that's your opponent's fault, not yours.
Yeah, I hear that one.
My original point was. That, and it's bad for the meta, by the way.
Agreed.
I completely agree with that. Yeah, you shun people away for trying out things that they've heard about or things that are new to them.
Yep.
Good question, Pip. Come Thank visit you, us. Pip. We'll give you
also,
a free soda.
I have a question about you being a new player because we've been on the air for 2 years. 1 year. 2 years?
Two years and a half-ish.
Yeah, I don't know about new player.
Pip has been a fan since the beginning.
He's Maybe new to Crix, so it's not going to be a new player.
Maybe he just listened to us.
Well, he didn't say new player. He said, I recently got into playing War Machine seriously.
Oh,
that
seriously?
Is true. And not so, everyone plays seriously.
Yeah. I wear a clown nose constantly because I don't play seriously.
Is that what you call your little vest?
Well, I know on my penis.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
okay. I just can't, and I don't just mean while I'm playing. Like, I literally never take it off. It's like a never nude.
It makes stocking more fun.
It does. It goes.
How do you pee through it?
It fills up. It kind of comes at the ends.
Yeah, I just go in and little, I just
it's a little
squeeze
messier.
It.
That's why there's all those pee things all over my bathroom now.
No, that's unrelated.
Okay.
I had an accident.
All right, so. Do we want to do?
Yeah, the other topic.
Yeah, we got another topic.
We have one of our contest topics.
Yep.
Third place.
Let me get to the other.
I got it here. You want me to read it real quick?
If you have the exact wording. Yeah.
Yep, I do. Any tips on how? This is from Richie Kammer. I don't know where you're from. Any tips on how to deal with the shrinking meta? Attempts at demo days have been met with no/little success, and our miniatures night is dominated by the rectangle dice bucket game, so we rarely get any interested observers.
Rectangle dice bucket game?
Warhammer.
I would assume that's Warhammer.
Because you put the models in a rectangle and you just roll buckets of
dice.
Yeah,
my advice is persistence. Just keep playing. Playing your game, you know, have fun playing your game. Eventually, you'll get more people.
I have two more...
I might have one based on your two.
More action-based changes that I can see, like problems that I see in your description here. I don't know how realistic it is with your game store, but if you can have a different night, you don't have a miniatures night where 99% of people play Warhammer and then you're just in the corner and nobody plays War Machine, because some of those people would play both nights. Some of those people would happily do both hobbies. So if you can move to a different night, so like the Warhammer people have their Tuesdays and then you play on Wednesdays or something, you don't have that direct competition. Right, come here on Wednesdays. So that way you don't have the direct competition. Number two, this may or may not be obvious, but find some Magic players. If there's a Magic night that's not like, you know, the tournament nights, but just like casual night or something, do demos for those guys, because War Machine is basically just Magic with miniatures. And those people take to the shit like a duck to water.
A lot of them do. And honestly, I think you're right about the Warhammer group, is a lot of them also could be interested if it's a different night.
Yeah. Other things to do is just simple things. Okay, so figure out your night you want to play. Maybe you have to stay the same night because of the story. Maybe you can pick a new night. Then you want to, you know, like Nathan said, check out the Magic players. But also promote it. Like, say, put flyers. Make sure there's flyers up. Run demo days every so often on weekends. Just be like, hey, demo on this day. And you know what? And demo days can sometimes be boring as fuck, because maybe you only get two people that show up. But maybe one of those two people show up and they bring their three friends. You don't know. Yeah. Maybe you have a demo night and eight people show up.
Yep.
Schedule a demo night once or twice a month for a little while. Make sure the store has banners out there posted online. Yeah. You know, if your community has a Facebook group, or create a Facebook group, or just there's all these things you can do to promote. You want to make sure people know your event exists or your game night exists. You have to do things and other people will be aware of it.
The other thing that I would suggest, and you guys can probably speak to it more than I can, is a social side. So, like, I know that sometimes Annie will come down and he'll bring his models that he wants to just put together or whatever. I don't know what you do with models.
Assemble.
But he'll kind of go and he'll talk to new players and he'll talk to everyone. And it's not just like when you come in, it's not just two people or, you know, four people playing on a game and ignoring everyone else. There's somebody going around and making it an inclusive thing and a social thing.
Once your group is big, then you can start to ignore some people. But until when it's small, you have to be friendly.
For a shrinking meta, then, too, I would recommend making sure that you have extra models on hand for anybody who wants to have a demo or anybody who even wants to play. You know, like, if they spark an interest, you're like, hey, man, I've got armies. If you want to borrow one of my armies and play me, that'd be awesome.
If if what you're worried about is growing the meta, one of you who's willing to give demos and is friendly should probably not be playing unless you're giving demos. Be available for a demo if anyone asks. Be wandering the room chatting with people. Sometimes just having someone watching a game encourages other people to come watch a game. Like, having that one extra person can be a big help.
No, it should be, that should go between two people, because you don't want somebody who just never gets to play.
Well, right, right. But my point isn't that it's the same person every week. My point is have someone each week.
And the demos themselves, depending, there's good and bad ways to run demos. I would recommend, when you're doing demos, if possible, have two people play against each other that are both new. Have a 2x2 table instead of a 4x4 so that they just have to smash together. And don't worry about going into the details. Like, they don't really need to, they don't need to know what animi are. Like, at least not till like the third turn. Like, just say, you roll two dice, you add a number, you compare it to a number, now go. And like, just let them start smashing stuff. And then turn two, be like, by the way, have you noticed this other card that has spells on it? Let me explain spells. And then turn three, go, by the way, animi or whatever. Or don't, who the fuck cares? But like, let them smash some robots together, and then that'll get their interest. There's a reason that the demos, like at conventions run by Privateer, are not on 4x4 boards with units and stuff like that.
Yeah, and generally don't really go over much of the rules except for movement, you know, how to hit, how to do damage and that. So.
Also, if you have the money, you could just hire like a dozen prostitutes. And number one, they can play. And so already you've got like a dozen extra people playing the game. And they might like it. And number two, it's just going to be an attractive player base that's going to attract some of those.
Well, it depends what kind of prostitutes. Depends on what kind of prostitutes.
How much
they are going to be women in a game store. They will attract the neckbeards.
He's true.
I've just heard some of the comments that you made about some of the women who come in.
What? Oh, that was... Listen. Yeah, okay. To be fair, those were some... Okay.
I don't approve.
I just want to point out, too, you know the specific incident I'm talking about.
Well, I was standing next to him when he said it. I was like, whoa.
But I was right.
Yeah, no, he was right. Everyone explained it to, they were like... Yep.
Wait, I wasn't there. Explain.
No.
Damn it.
No.
There's no names being named. No.
It doesn't matter.
It was awful.
Why are we such a classy podcast?
We are the positive.
If you imagine the beginning of Return of the Jedi, they weren't the Twi'lek dancer. They were the Hutt.
There's one that looks so like a man.
It might be a man, in all honesty.
There's one? There's like, one a, that is a man. Like a regular?
There's one that is a man.
There's like a half... one of them I'm 99% sure is exactly actually transgender. The other are just unfortunate.
Yeah.
What?
So the point is, you offended. Have to be able to afford at least decent prostitutes. You can't scrape the bottom of the barrel because
you'll offend Nathan.
You'll offend Nathan.
You don't want the prostitutes to have neckbeards themselves.
This started off like such
How
a good
this
topic.
How did go to this place? So there was a judge bored. Document.
So that's how you deal with the shrinking meta.
Hire some prostitutes. That's how I deal with shrinking anything.
Because you can pay them not to laugh at it.
Right.
So what about that judge
document?
Or pay
them to laugh directly at it.
So there was a judge document.
Like, I mean, whatever works for you.
So we're done with the other conversation.
Dear God, judge document. I'm just trying to steer to another new topic, Andy.
Well, is there anything that we didn't cover? So have somebody doing demos, promote the shit out of it, move your knights so you're not directly competing, and try talking to Magic players. And whores. Just lots of whores.
Kind of an odd way to go about it as well. It's maybe not the most popular way, but maybe check out their game.
Check out
their game. Basically, you know, play a little bit, make some
friends.
I'll
show you mine if you show me yours.
Yeah,
that's very dangerous, though. When you say, you want to demo my game, you're like, oh, no, here's my game. You have to do that just right, or they will be like, oh, you're that guy. There's about 90% chance of failure.
I mean, you have to be genuinely interested in what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, you can check it out, see if you like it, et cetera. You might be able to make some friends over there, might be able to bring them back.
So I did the Dark Age demos while we were doing the Merry Mayhem this last year.
You're talking about like a 6 to 9 month plan. Play their games for like a year, and then bring in War Machine. Because if you bring it up like in the first day or two, they're going to be like, oh, great.
So start a relationship with a woman, you know, eventually meet her family, get married, have some kids, and then teach your kids and your wife to play War Machine. You know, you got a long term this.
Yeah, you got
a
slow roll. Yeah.
It's fine.
This is the Littlefinger guide to expanding your meta.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Shut up. That's all I have to say, Jeremy.
So excited.
Shut up.
So excited.
I can't.
Are you guys excited?
There's no next week with Memorial Day.
I know.
It's not Memorial Weekend?
I don't think
no,
so.
No, that's what I heard. Which means that after this episode, we're going to have to wait a fortnight
for
to see
thing.
The next episode.
It's true.
A fortnight?
Yeah, it's a fortnight. It's 2 weeks.
Judge document.
So you heard something about a judge document?
I heard there was a judge document. We have a judge in the
room.
We
didn't talk about that last week?
We did not, because it technically dropped on Monday.
Yeah. Oh, good call. Sorry.
You knew about it. We did not.
God, I've been waiting for that thing to drop. Speaking of, can I talk to people
Nate,
about it yet?
Talk about the judge document.
There were only a couple changes.
So much anger on the internet about the judge document.
This was the least angry of like the four things that happened last week.
The things that came out, people are less
angry. The Calissa theme force, the errata, and the conversion policy got lots of hate. The judge document hasn't really gotten
that
much
hate. They ran out of hate. They, like no, some of those podcasts, after 45 minutes of ranting, they passed out for the judge document.
Hate begets hate. Begets?
Begets.
Begets.
There's a lot of people who's basically saying it's like, well, if I forget that, DQ.
I haven't seen
people
that
forget
much.
The one thing about the judge document is number one, you hash it out with your opponent first.
Yeah.
If you have to call over a judge, these are the guidelines that they have to abide by privateer.
And have to is a strong term because we are not robots. If you try to, if you're like, it says right here, you have to. I can say fuck you. Yeah. I mean, I won't say it like that. There's professionalism.
I don't know. You might.
But no. Trust. I will not say it that way, Hungerford. I promise.
Your last day as a judge.
These are guys. Yeah. Last day as a judge. Like, fuck you. You lose. And just pick up their model and hurl it against the wall.
I've seen someone's last day as a judge. It's amazing.
Pick it. Meltdowns.
I feel like I missed that. And
but
I'm sad.
The document gives you a guide of what is almost always, except in extreme conditions, going to be our ruling. We can do discretionary stuff. But the new judge document, unless I'm blanking on one. There were only three real changes.
I can only think of two, so you must be thinking of one I forgot.
Lasers.
Oh, I missed that.
Go ahead and use them. Yeah. You know, for your charge lane. You know, put just whatever.
Just better for the game.
It's just better for the game. And as I posted a paragraph about this in the, and I didn't get yelled at, so I guess because it was a little behind the curtain. But a lot of the discussions for these things behind the scenes, there's balancing. Trying to make a rule that is worded correctly and tightly so that people can't abuse a loophole versus how much actual abuse will the loophole get and deciding whether it's worth it or not. And there was so much shit with like the lasers and measuring charge lanes. People were like, well, I can just declare infinite, slightly tighter ranges and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, fine, just put down a proxy base and use the laser. It's just not worth the effort anymore.
It's not.
So put down a proxy base, use the laser. Like, just figure out your charge lane. You're allowed to. You can do that. And tied in with that is number two, which is that you can, anytime you have a valid proxy base, you can measure melee off of it, which most tightly comes in. Most
off of a proxy base?
Yeah.
As long as the proxy base is either representing the actual physical model, in which case, of course, you can measure its melee. The model is there. Or if it's being placed as part of a charge or a movement. So,
which I've done, like, to get the stuff maximum reach or angles. Yeah.
Always done. Yeah. People have done that all the time. You're like, I want to charge here. To check to make sure that this is a legal charge location, I'm going to measure my melee from this base. People have done that forever.
Sure.
And so now it's just officially okay.
It's a thing.
Okay. One thing people have been kind of complaining about is that you can measure, you don't have to measure just your melee to the charge target. You can measure the melee the whole arc because whatever.
Well, you can always, I thought that was always a thing. You could always measure your melee all the time.
Right, but technically your model isn't there yet. Just a base double checking to see if it's a legal destination is there, and there's no rule for when a base representing a legal destination can measure its melee range.
Right.
And so that was people like, well, you only need to know if it's in melee if it's charge targets. You should only have to. It's like, whatever, just measure your melee.
It lets you finagle some things where you're like say a scythe and you want to make sure you're engaging multiple targets or whatever. But it's things
that... Or berserk.
Yeah, I mean, there are situations where it's handy. It's not game-breaking. It's fine. Jeez.
What is happening?
And then the number three, the one that Andy said he's heard the most pushback about, but it's just...
We only did number one so far.
No, it was the lasers are okay, and you can measure melee off a proxy base.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then there are two more that I'm thinking of.
Okay, I might be forgetting one. The if you have an ability that you forget to declare at the beginning, the most common one that that's going to run into is Prey.
Because
the other ones like Client and Bond have to be on your list.
Yeah.
But if you don't mention Prey and you start the game and you're like, shit, I forgot Prey, well, you don't have Prey. Just because there's no easy fix to it.
Now,
otherwise.
One question I had about this that
and
I
And again,
like,
if you and your opponent say, you just pick something, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, as Andy pointed out, like if you go, shit, I forgot Prey, and your opponent goes, what would you pray? And you go, well, I would have prayed that. And they're like, yeah, of course you would have. I agree. Go ahead. Then that's
or
fine.
Or you can be like, well, or if you're like, well, I know he's a pay my caster, but he didn't say it, so screw him.
Yeah.
You can be that guy legally now, and you can feel good about yourself.
That's true.
Well, the point is there's no default prey target, so it's just you don't get prey.
So since I have a judge here, and you like to make bad rulings on air, so we're going to go with that. how does this affect something like countercharge? Say you move into my countercharge range, and I don't say anything.
Yeah.
Because I forget it's on the card. Let's pretend I'm a good guy. I forget it's on the card. And then later in the game, you don't think I have countercharge because I didn't say anything. And you move into my countercharge range in like a game-breaking way. And I go, what countercharge?
Well, you were under no obligation to mention it.
That's what I thought. If it's not mandatory, then you don't have to mention it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that was going
to be. Oh, well, then I'm much better about it. Because the way I understood it before is, or the way Jeremy explained it to me before.
I wasn't sure.
Is that if he didn't say countermeasure or countercharge the first time, then there was no countercharge ever. And I was like, that's really going to screw new players. No, like, that's not fair. No,
the more somewhat related, a better example would be like if I was playing against you and you had Thagrosh 1 and I attacked and you didn't do the strength debuff.
Yeah.
If you didn't do minus 2 strength and then the next time I attack you go like, by the way, you're at minus 2 strength. You just... Oh, well. I mean, there's no... like.
Okay. So it's only things that you can only declare at a single point in time, such as prey.
Right, because,
the other forgetting is more of your fault. I mean,
yeah, you're always allowed to declare... You're always allowed to trigger countercharge or not trigger countercharge. The fact that you chose not
to... Thagrosh is a better example, though, because I'm a bad player, and I frequently forget Thagrosh's ability until halfway through the game. Oh. And then I go, oh, man, my beast would totally still be alive. I'm going to remember it now. Yeah. Oh, man, my last beast is totally armor plus 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that goes the same thing with, like, Harbinger with Awe as well.
Yeah.
That's a big thing with me.
Yeah, those abilities to
me
like are...
Or, like, Krueger with not breaking inspiration.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's true.
Haha.
So...
Go ahead,
I mean,
Ryan.
those things you can forget about, though, but at a later game state, you would still get those abilities.
Yeah, because they don't cause an illegal game state. Like, yeah. The issue is you cannot legally not have a prey.
Correct.
And so...
So you just lost the ability.
You just lost the ability because there's no other way to fix the illegal game state.
Similar to you forgot to pop up your Digmies during the maintenance phase.
That is currently being checked.
That is currently being
checked. I'm double-checking right now. Well, the issue is somebody asked yesterday about a Helldiver. And the thing is, a Helldiver, and I knew how I would answer with the Helldiver, but the issue is Helldivers and Digmies are the two that can do this, and they will function differently. Because a Helldiver can come up and go right back down, so technically you'd be like, well, just come up next turn, whatever. Like, it's not really necessarily a legal game state, because you could have come up and then activated first and went back down. But Digmies aren't allowed to stay up, and so right now I'm not sure. The two obvious possibilities are going to be they stay down, bring them up next turn, or they all just die.
Suffocate to death.
Yeah. Isn't that what the ruling technically is now?
In general, the judge document tends to err on fucking over the person who made the mistake.
Yeah.
You know, you
Which
forgot
I think,
to come
I think
up.
Is what you have
don't
to do.
Forget next time. Because if we err on your behalf, you're like, oh, we'll bring them up now after 17 models have already moved and made more space and cleared up a charge lane. Go ahead and bring them up. Because then people will quote unquote forget.
Yeah.
And so we want it to be bad for the person who forgot so that they stop forgetting. Because and then that way they can't, oops, I forgot, wink, wink, I now win because of this.
Right.
So,
no, that's fair.
Yeah. I currently don't know. That's why I'm checking, because those are the two obvious possibilities. Yep. I know which way I would rule, but I don't want to.
The Helldiver turns into a Kraken.
Yeah, it just comes up as a Kraken, and that's that.
If you could fit a beast.
If you could fit a Kraken there, you get a free Kraken.
You get a free Kraken.
All four of my Helldivers dug in. Oh, I got four Krakens, turn
that's,
one.
That's how they evolve.
Yeah. So, the thing that actually has gotten the most hate out of the judge document is the one you forgot.
Which one?
Which is, if your models are not clearly delineated as to which unit they are and which one's the unit leader, then you lose.
What is it?
No. That is completely not what it says. It has nothing
that's,
to... No,
that's
it
actually,
not. Say what you just said again.
So, if your models... If the players cannot agree on which unit a model is in, and it's not clearly visibly different... Or which one's the unit leader?
That is not in it anywhere.
The unit leader's not in there?
The unit leader is not in
it's
anywhere.
It's just the which unit.
All you have to have is this is unit A and this is unit B, and you have a way to tell them apart.
And if you can't tell them apart, you lose. And it's to stop things like Scar with 30 Bane Knights.
And
Doom Reavers, which is also obnoxious.
The Bane Knights is the bigger issue. It's the quintessential issue because then somebody kills one model and you look and you're like, oh, these nine guys have vengeance. Ha ha. And they happen to be the nine in the best position.
Correct.
Like, because I swear those were the guys. Like,
I swear that was a unit.
And so,
yeah.
Just clearly mark your units.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, I know people you could just make the bases different colored.
Put a dot on the back.
Yeah, it's like, not hard.
Well, I do the 50, you know, the mark their bases for the line of sight. I make different units different colors.
Yeah,
if it's like my Centrati are all different.
Or like Cataphracts. And I mean, I didn't think about that when I did my Strike Force, but once upon a time, because I wanted to be a really bad player, I played Raven's Theme Force with three units of Strike Force, and I just had number one on the back of 10 of them, and number two on the back of 10 of them, and number three on the back.
That works fine, you know? Put a bunch of different colored feathered Bart hats on top of
them. Works.
That works fine.
I put reeds
that's
in
expensive.
My stones, but I don't think
if you
good
just
enough.
Marks it back, it does work, but your opponent has to look at
it. It is
back
unfortunate
side.
For your opponent. It's unfortunate that it's legal because it is annoying, but...
Or he could do what John does in our local meta and has one unit assembled, the other one half assembled.
Yeah, that is how he does it.
Yeah.
I didn't, my shrimp, one of them is half painted and one of them is not at all painted.
Yep.
That, I mean, as a courtesy to your opponent, you can mark the front. But the issue is just, like, if they're marked only on the back and you're like, this guy here is the one he just killed. See, there's a one on the back. Now these other ones that have a one are going to do vengeance. Yep, like, that's enough. Oh,
it's better. Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
Ideally, the intent, the hope is that people will do something like mark their front arcs with different colors or whatever, because then it's just easier for everyone.
Because it also would prevent people from like getting a vengeance from all three units.
Well, that was what people were worried about.
That was
people. That was there were stories on the internet that true or not,
you'd kill where three it's like random
I killed three knights, and every turn those three knights happen to be in three different units. Wink, wink.
Yeah, and so if they're marked on the back, your opponent might accidentally do that, but at least it's provable that it actually happened, correct, as opposed to all three of those guys were part of the same unit, but now magically you have three 9-man units instead of a 7 and 2 10s.
Correct. So, anyway.
How people are complaining about any of these, I don't know.
Well, the Judge Dragon's not getting much hater. It's getting a little bit. One people are whining about.
There were previous whines about people like, I don't want to blemish my beautiful work of arts based in any way, and putting arc markers on it and putting a unit denotation on it, that just makes it look terrible. Yeah.
Arc markers is one thing. You can actually hide it pretty well for an arc marker. Different color.
Put it on the bottom.
To be perfectly
honest, on the bottom of your model's base, put this model is in Unit 1 in giant gold letters, and no one will ever see it. It doesn't have to be visible outside. Yeah, it just has to be a denotation.
I don't like when I see the front arcs painted a specific
the
color.
The full 180.
Because it always, to me, they always paint it the same exact color as the model. And it looks gaudy to me.
Yeah, well, I don't have that problem. Mine are random ass colors.
Well, I mean, if it's like done in like a
no, like
a
when I play trolls,
gray or something.
My trolls, the entire front arc was blue. It was troll blood blue, the whole front arc. And so your opponent just sees this army of blue coming towards it. Well, and that it is a common thing, but that's why Andy sees it enough to hate it.
Good job. Good topic.
So anyway, judge document.
We don't think it's in the end of the world either. Because again, it still comes down to you and your opponent making the decision. And if you two can't come to an agreeable conclusion, then you have the judge document to deal with.
Our cripple system, the positive source.
Well, and this kind of dovetails. I don't know how many of you guys read the podcast or the articles by the Overload Online guy.
No.
The Three Dice Overload guy. He wrote an article that was basically like the difference in how nice people are and how clean people play between top tables and bottom tables. And he's always at bottom tables where everyone's angry and cheating and being mean to each other. And he's I hear about this beautiful land where people play at top tables and it's clean games and everyone's nice and friendly and they allow a Pagani once in a while.
I don't know about friendly, but everyone's polite.
I would say
clean.
90% of my top games are always clean. Always people are very considerate of each other. Yeah. More often than not, very friendly.
Yep.
I mean, there are tense moments here and there, but for top being top tables, it is almost always a good place to be because
that's what he said. He said every once in a while I luck out and win my first two games, and the rest of my day is amazing. And then most tournaments I go to, I lose round one or round two, and I'm at the bottom with a bunch of guys that it's hard to tell that they like the game.
Like I don't understand that, because if you're on the bottom, if you're not going to win anyway, why wouldn't you just...
Because I think there's people don't want to be last, and so they start scrambling and scrabbling and throwing each other under the bus, because at least if they go 1-3, they didn't go 0-4.
Only one guy has to go 0-4. Oh my god, I hope that's not me.
Well,
that's basically what they're doing.
Here is the one thing I will say. I hate it when my opponents don't make me play clean, because then I feel like I can't make them play clean, A. And two, if I win, I don't feel like it's very good game. Like, I feel like it's a cheap win.
Yeah, like, take it back. I'm not taking this back because I'm not giving you a take back. So it's like, fine. It depends on what it is, obviously.
His point wasn't just about take backs. It was people intentionally trying to shenanigan the rules and, like, literally at the end of the game, two people looking like they just want to kill each other.
I do wonder what portion that actually... I'll pause for a second. Andy, you had something you wanted to say.
Well, I was just going to say that it was more... It feels more of a knowledge of the game. The lack of knowledge of the game tends to frustrate people more. You know, when they move into something, they're like, oh, shit, all my stuff I just did was useless because I forgot about that one rule. So then they feel down about it.
A lot of gotchas happen at bottom tables.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So
or on the way to that, because I've definitely, I mean, it happens, I do that to a lot of people.
People in the losing bracket, they're going to fall for gotchas more often and just general bad rules knowledge of even core rules.
Well, Katie and her opponent at one of the Cedar Rapids events.
Oh, yeah, we didn't know any of the
rules. Hilariously, I think you were both undefeated at this point, which ruins my point. But let's pretend you were at the bottom table like you should have been.
Well, you should have been, Katie.
Whoa!
Well, I'm not a very good circle player. You've established that.
And you have no mind.
No, based on the knowledge of this rule. So both of them were playing like half the games and the rules in the game wrong. Like, you both admitted it after the game. Like, they were playing the stationary models. They had
this
stationary models
game,
scoring
this
flags.
This was the first round of the, of the day. It wasn't like we were in the winner's bracket or the loser's bracket.
Yeah.
We were establishing
They had a unit of stones that was missing most of its members, the remaining stones scoring a flag.
No, that's not true at all.
There were
two
stones?
He had a Gallows Grove.
Okay, a Gallows Grove score.
But my point is, this was the first game. It was,
oh, okay, that's why
we
undefeated.
Yeah.
But yeah, like at the end of the game, I walked over because my game had ended, and because I was playing Lilith 2, and Billy and I, who Billy was the TO, was watching it, and he was like, I don't think I can recover the game state. Like, he's looking at the table, and he's like, so they're playing that wrong, and they're playing that wrong, and that's illegal.
At this point, let them have fun and
like,
play.
Morvana had just healed the stone Colossus Gargantuan for Circle, which is illegal. Like, he was like, I don't know.
I would like to point out both of us were having fun.
You were.
And neither one of us realized that the other one was not playing correctly.
There you go.
At Adepticon, we had a similar, like, oh my god, what do we do thing. Huggerford and I... and one other person, I forget who it was, but the scenario that round had the 6x12 rectangle scenario zone and then like two flags.
Sure.
And neutralize Jake Van Meter and his opponent, who was also like this was like the 2-0 table at like Masters. Like, these are good players, know what they're doing. They sat down and they put the two flags on the corners of the board and thought they were playing destruction with medium bases. So they start playing the game with this made up scenario that doesn't exist, and they're like three rounds in the game, and one of them has killed one of the flags.
One of the flags.
Like, they're doing all this stuff, and we go over to like, what? Like, what are you doing? You like made up a fake scenario. So we're like, pause your clock, and we just replace the one surviving one with we just move the flags to where they were, displacing some of their models to make room for the flags, and go, this is your scenario now.
By the way, one of you just lost a scenario point.
Yes, you're both at zero.
That would really suck if I was in a game like that.
Well, like, what were they?
Like, what
no,
I'm
with you. That's a terrible scenario to be in. Yeah. There's not really a good right answer.
No.
I probably said,
that's why they changed the scenario.
I would have let them just play the fake scenario, but that's still not the right thing. I mean, it's a bad situation.
That is kind of hilarious.
Well, you know, it happens. Well, if Jake would be smarter.
But no, I think that's part of it. Like, both individual rules knowledge of gotchas and general knowledge, like, there's going to be...
Oh, yeah.
And then people are going to get grumpy and angry, and stuff's going to come up. Like, they're going to go to charge, and they're like, you don't have Pathfinder, you can't go over that wall. Yeah. And they're like, goddammit!
Like I said when we went to St. Louis, there was a reason I dropped after the 0-2 game. I knew I could not be a good opponent. Like, I feel, I mean, you'd have to ask Jordan Knack, maybe I wasn't a good opponent in round two. I think I was an okay opponent in round two, partly because I was drinking heavily. But I no longer had a third game in me where I could be a decent opponent, so I dropped. And not everyone's willing to do that, because not everyone's okay with, I drove 6 miles and spent my weekend here to go to drop.
Right.
So I am going to play till I win, goddammit, and I'm going to make you
and
miserable.
And you're
going
to get grumpy and grumpy and angry and grumpy and angry.
And I really hated to have to drop, because I've always played out my tournaments. Like, even in Masters, where I lost in round one at Adepticon, I was like, I'm going to play it out, because I fucking made Masters. Like, I love to just play out the tournaments. That's why I love the game. I love playing the game. I love playing the game at tournaments. But that day, I couldn't. Right. After two losses like that, I just couldn't.
Makes sense.
The other thing is being able to read your opponent and when you should learn how to not say anything to them.
I would say that the majority of War Machine players, myself included, are not good at that skill.
It's just something that we should all work on as a community.
Katie, I see you closing your eyes and I know exactly what face you're visualizing.
So, I'm just saying.
I do too.
I know multiple people who sometimes they're talking to their opponent, they don't catch on to any of the clues their opponent has done with them.
Your opponent
they
is
just
now
want, they want
they're not want. Clues. Sometimes they're just outright like
statements.
Maybe you should be quiet now.
Well, but
to
I'm
be
saying,
fair,
and a lot of people, if you just give them 2 minutes, they'll be fine. But they just need 2 minutes.
They need 2 minutes.
Just need 2 minutes.
Like you told Crump, get out of my sight.
This might be a hobby full of people who aren't the strongest social. Interactive,
true.
Like
I believe that less and less. Though it's funny to, it's kind of. I mean, it's insulting to say, but I also think it's less and less that true.
It is.
Well,
like,
and you know what you can say to.
I mean, we've all acknowledged a bunch of ugly women around.
Like, you know what you
not
can
a bunch,
do.
Just those three.
And you can ask people this, and I don't think they'll be offended. Say, would you like to talk about the game? And when they say no, say, okay.
And then go find one of your friends and talk about the game. That's not your opponent.
Like, that's a socially acceptable way to determine whether or not your opponent's in a good place. Some will like to.
Some people love, oh, you beat me. Give me suggestions for me. And sometimes you they're like, you beat me. I don't want to deal with you for 5 minutes. You know, you don't know what that person's like.
Yeah. Some people genuinely enjoy just going into the dojo after the game. Well, if I had done this, and they're like, well, then if I had done this, you're like, oh, man, that's amazing. What if I had done this? Some people enjoy that. Some people, my wife included.
To be fair, there's a difference between if I had done this and if you had done this.
Before
you start saying if you had done this, you need to make sure that they are open and curious what they could have done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like to, you know, ask them if they want to talk about the game, and then they say no, and then I go to my friend who's nearby and I talk about it really loud with him.
That's just being a dick. Or Andy. Either way.
We'll call that pulling an Andy.
I don't. I try not to do
when
that.
When I play my Crix against some people, they're like, well, what could I have done differently? I'm like, nothing. You could have not chosen to be fair, basically nothing. You were screwed.
To be fair, that's what you say whenever I ask you what I could have done differently after one of our games. You're like, you couldn't have won. You just suck.
Some people are very good at dojoing. Brian is one of them. Like,
well, not after the game.
After the game.
Yeah,
one.
I was like, yeah, no, you were screwed every scenario.
You had no way to win, but thanks for playing.
I'm just better than you. You can suck it.
You moved 3 inches forward.
Yeah, that's Andy's response when he plays Durgan. You could have not advanced your model.
Yeah.
You should have played Lucan.
You should have brought Lucan.
Anyway. Zappity. Fuck you. He's in my foam now. I'm not forgetting that, son of a bitch.
Zappity.
Do we have any other topics this week people want to discuss?
We try to keep shorter, so I think
that was the big stuff I knew of.
That's a zappity and get out of here.
I'm going to start with Facebook this week, just because funsies.
Was there Twitter?
There is.
Yeah, Twitter. Oh. Yeah. Jeremy's just being backwards.
I just pick one some weeks. I try to switch it back and forth so no one knows which one I'm going to read first.
No, you usually read Facebook first.
That is true.
Do I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
At least like the last 4 times you have.
Yeah.
Oh, well, next week I'll
do Twitter. We have done generally Twitter first.
Well, what have you. Anyway, this week I'm doing Facebook, so suck it. Who is the most misunderstood villain you know in movie history?
Misunderstood.
Misunderstood.
You said misunderstood.
That's a good question.
This is right up Brian's alley.
I have so many. I need more time. That's a topic for like a week.
Come on, Brian.
So,
you can do this.
There was an article on Cracked that had a few of these listed. And I'm not going with any of these, but some of their examples, they had the Wicked Witch of the West, because somebody showed up, murdered her sister, stole her sister's property, and the witch just wants them back. Like, she literally just wants her sister's slippers back. She's not trying to conquer the Earth. Sauron is just battling for equal rights for orcs and goblins and stuff like that. Because they are genocidally put down upon by, like, elves and stuff just because they're ugly. And, Rooney is a big one from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Principal Rooney or Vice Principal Rooney.
I think it's Vice Principal.
He's doing his job.
No,
chasing a student down for calling
out. He's gone a little extreme. He's gone a little psychotic. He's got this obsession.
But sometimes those movies do that just to
make him a villain.
Like, there's a movie.
Think about all the stuff that Bueller has done to him that you have not seen.
I would say a better one would be Breakfast Club.
Sure.
The guy in the Breakfast Club who's just like there spending his Saturday watching these kids.
Watching a bunch of screw ups.
I'm going to go to a book that no one here has read, but there's a book villain.
Movies.
I know, but there's a book villain where this bad guy, he's a villain of all three books. And I swear to God, he does all these amazing things. And the very, like in the last 3 chapters of the final book, like, well, he has to do something bad, so we'll have him kind of rape a person. It was kind of like an addition. They needed to like
make him evil. It's like the new RoboCop where the guy had done nothing.
I was assuming that was going
to
be your answer.
That's the one part of the book that annoyed me, is like they had to do something to villainize a guy because they realized, you know, he does think bad things, but he hasn't really done anything bad, so we have to make him unlikable suddenly. It's like last second thing, which is annoying to me. But anyway, that was off topic.
The one I'm going with is Little Bill from Unforgiven. Because he didn't do anything wrong. He's the sheriff of this town. He's keeping the order. He punishes some people who do a crime. The people don't stand by the punishment, so they hire hired killers that come into town and murder a bunch of unarmed people. So he captures one of those guys, that guy dies, and then the other guy comes in and murders a bunch of people again, including Bill. Like, he's literally just being the sheriff of the town. Like, he's kind of a dick, but that's not evil. Like, like, what did Little Bill do wrong? Why is he the villain instead of the serial killers that come into town and kill everybody?
I'm going to this was from Cracked, but I heavily agree with them on this. I'm going to go with Scrooge. he never actually does anything wrong. Like, he gives people shit for doing things, but he always gives them what they asked for.
He ordered them to put staples to keep on antlers.
Staples?
What?
See, he doesn't see nipples, and he's trying. That guy's trying.
Scrooged.
Scrooged.
With Bill Murray.
Oh, staples. I haven't seen that one.
Wait,
she hasn't.
Wait, what were you talking? Oh, you're talking about? Oh, you just
actual Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
No, I thought you were talking about. Scrooge.
Well, obviously that's the movie. That's the go-to movie you think of when you think Scrooge. Because that is the quintessential
Christmas Carol. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, if you said Christmas Carol, I would have.
Doesn't give him the day off. Or,
he does give him the day off. Man, you shouldn't be taking days off because, you know, like, you should be working instead because times are hard. But sure, have the day off.
Yeah.
What a dick.
He's just kind of a dick about it. Like, that's his biggest thing is he's just kind of a dick.
But what about how he's kind of a dick? How much money does he give to those people who are collecting money for orphans?
I don't remember.
Yeah, see, maybe he doesn't.
I don't think he gives
He
any.
Didn't give charity to some beggars. What a dick.
What a dick. I'm sure every time you meet a beggar, you give him charity.
What's your pick, Jeremy?
I'm actually going to steal one from How I Met Your Mother, because I think it's hilarious and actually kind of true. No.
She leads Ted on the entire fucking show.
She does, but Sweep the Leg Johnny from
really
Karate
want
Kid.
Karate
Kid. Like, the worst thing he does is kind of some mild hazing. Admittedly, he was probably going to beat the crap out of him at the fence, but he doesn't. He just gets his ass kicked by a karate master. Like, he chases a kid, then gets his ass kicked.
Well, the real villain of that show is the adult leader of Cobra Kai.
Agreed, but most people consider Johnny the villain.
John Kreese he's great.
Sure, but he's the villain of that show.
He should be, but most people consider Sweep. And literally, the worst thing he does, most people's example of the worst terrible thing, is obey his karate instructor and get himself DQ'd from a tournament by doing what his karate instructor told him to do.
Yeah,
he was following rules. He was a Nazi.
Yeah, Nuremberg. Yeah. Andy.
I really can't think of a villain, a misunderstanding. Maybe what's his name from...
Gaston?
No.
Nope.
No, Gaston had attempted rape.
I was thinking of Zord. Is it Zord?
Zordon?
Zord from Fifth Element.
Zerg. Zorg.
Zerg. Zorg.
Zorg.
Yeah. Yeah. Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg.
Yeah, I don't think he was a...
You mean empowering an orb of ultimate evil that's only goal is to destroy the Earth?
I disagree with you, Andy.
I'm gonna pick every current boyfriend in a rom-com.
Yeah, that's actually a good one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that is true.
How dare you be the one that's dating them?
Like, Brian's example, they shoo in the, he's just going to, try to rape or beat or somebody to make him evil. But, the one in there was a Cracked article about this exact thing where he had, five examples of rom-com current boyfriends. And one of them was the guy in Liar Liar, who literally does nothing wrong.
Yeah,
His worst offense is he's less competent at tickling than Jim Carrey is.
Yeah!
that's what makes him evil, is he doesn't tickle the kid as well.
Well, I am super evil, then.
Yeah, you are.
He was a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy who steps in to take care of this woman and her kid after she just got of a bad relationship with this guy. He does everything right. He's a great guy, but he doesn't tickle quite as well.
Yeah.
And he's not on the poster, so fuck that guy.
And he doesn't do the hand.
The claw.
The claw.
I have two examples. The first one, which I think is...
Didn't you already go?
I didn't go. Now he's jumping.
No, you had the book.
Yeah. The book.
Oh, the book was to buy time
obviously
for the movie.
The first correct answer is Jason Voorhees. He's just misunderstood.
He is.
Sure. Go ahead.
Jason's mother is
The mother's a villain. He's a victim.
He's a victim. She's avenging her son.
I know. Well, I don't disagree either. And my second option would be Khan from the last movie, because he really wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything wrong either.
Oh
no, he didn't.
He killed a few people, but he was.
Well, he was trying to get his girl back.
After they tried to kill him, and he tried to rescue his people, they were holding hostage in stasis.
Yeah,
he killed some of them
because they were going to shoot his family into a sun
using them as a missile.
If someone's family is if they're going to murder all of his family, which is only 80 people.
So basically, he was the guy from Minority Report with bad PR.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's kind of who he was.
Minority Report?
Yeah. Tom Cruise is like...
When is he trying to rescue his family who are
going
to...
No, it's not his family, but he realizes something bad's going on, so he goes in and kills a bunch of people and sets bombs, and he does the same sort of thing.
Yeah, if you saw In the Darkness from Khan's point of view, he really, this evil military force has kidnapped his entire family, imprisoned them, and are going to murder them, and he has to break his way in and save all of them, and he's the bad guy.
I got the perfect one.
What's that?
Godzilla.
Hey, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
I'm pretty sure in this last movie
he was the good guy. He was the good guy.
Spoiler, in the current Godzilla, he's flat out a good guy.
He's a misunderstood villain. Everybody thinks that he's coming there to destroy things.
Depends on the movie. He is perfectly validly understood as a villain.
Yeah, maybe.
The guys who eat radiation are the misunderstood bad guys there. They're just trying to spread
They just want to make babies.
They're just hungry.
They're not villains, they're animals.
They don't realize that they're killing people or care, really. They're not like out to get people.
Yeah. I don't care when I kill an ant. They don't care when they kill an ant.
Yeah.
The hyenas in Lion King were another example in that first article I was talking about, because they're just hungry. Yeah. Like, Mufasa has taken them all and put them in this ghetto where they're not allowed to hunt. They're not allowed to get good food. They have to scavenge off the bones of this elephant graveyard where, you know, like, they're just subjugated. Like, Scar's only rallying cry is you won't be starving to death anymore. And they're like, that sounds great.
That would be amazing. Wow. That was the longest Zappity Grumble ever, but it was amazing. Good question, Benjamin Zappity. Farmer.
Yeah, that was a good question.
Grumble.
Key lime pie or southern style banana
pudding?
Key lime pie.
Don't care what you're saying. Key lime pie.
I'm gonna agree.
Go with neither of those. Are gross.
Is banana pudding like with the vanilla wafers and stuff in it?
It is.
It's all right. Key lime
pie.
But
it's not key lime.
Key lime.
What's the second one?
Bananas are acceptable. Southern style banana
pudding. Yeah, I'm not really. I would eat the vanilla wafers. I'm not a fan of either.
Bananas are acceptable as bananas or with peanut butter. The only two ways.
To be fair, though, most of us here at this table have only had that banana pudding as a crappy, mediocre dish at the end of our Chinese buffet.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's not a fair representation.
I've had it made from scratch at home, and it's good, but it's not key lime pie.
I don't like either.
At highly perfectly made and at mediocre store-bought level and at garbage level, key lime pie is better as long as it's being equivalently compared.
I would agree. Zappity.
Grumble.
If you've seen it, thoughts on the latest Godzilla. If you haven't, something else. But it doesn't matter because we've seen it. I kind of agree with what Nigel said. I'm not quite as vitriolic about it. I enjoyed it. I would call it a 5 or 6 out of 10, but I didn't love it. I thought it was good. I just didn't think it was great.
I thought it was good. It could have used like 10, 15 minutes more of the actual monster battle.
That would have made me feel much better.
But otherwise, complaints about human development and character development for humans.
I mean, it's a Godzilla movie.
It's a fucking Godzilla film.
Yeah.
Well, my problem is I felt like they tried to develop Soldier Boy and never did it well, and so it was just a waste of my time every time he was on the screen. That was my problem.
Even the best Godzilla with a ton of fights, they try to develop characters, but they make up for it with a few more minutes of Godzilla.
This one needed more Godzilla.
And more in a row, because you know, there was like 20 minutes of Godzilla and it was in 5-minute chunks. Like, we never got like literally just 20 minutes straight just the monsters punching each other.
I just want monsters beating the shit out of each other.
Just a full 20-minute fight scene would have been really, would have helped a lot.
I also was very, I said I gave it like an 8 out of 10 because I was enjoyed these. It was very good, filmed well, the music was very fitting to the parts, and when they finally had some of the shenanigans going on.
I'm gonna spoil a little moment of the movie with a slightly disturbing analogy, but that's okay. You know when you're approaching orgasm and you're getting there and you're like, oh, here it comes. There's a shot where it's like dark and you see the monster, whatever, and you see the blue tip of Godzilla's tail, and then the next spine turn blue, and you see the blue go up his back. And you're like, oh my god, he just breathed electricity. Oh god. So that build up as his whole spine turns blue before he breathes the radiation for the first time was because
it's all
orgasmic.
Like dark. It's all it was good.
Yeah. There were half a dozen moments.
I blacked out for a few moments.
Yeah. There were a half dozen moments of just pure joy. Like, something happened, and then I noticed that I was smiling to the point where my face hurt because of how happy I was. But, of course, that's because I'm a huge Godzilla fan.
You are.
Yeah, if you're not already a huge Godzilla fan, it was probably a 6 out of 10.
And that's the problem
for me.
But
for Brian and I,
already.
It was an 8 out of 10.
Yes.
And it would have been a 10 if we'd had one more 15-minute fight scene.
And if I had one more fight scene, it would have bumped it up to an 8 for me.
Sure.
Yeah. It made $96 million over the weekend. So as long as it can keep going, I'm sure we'll see another Godzilla.
I'm sure we will.
And that one will probably be more just fighting.
I
actually was annoyed by two things. One was people felt the need to randomly clap. I felt in the audience, which took me out of the movie, and I did not appreciate.
No, but they clapped at the proper times. I'm the one who doesn't like sound in a theater, but that was appropriate clapping.
Like, the moment I just said was one of the big rounds of applause.
No, and I don't like it because it you're having an intense fight scene where something like that happens, and then it's like, oh yeah, there are people.
You're too busy talking
here.
To Jeremy next to you. So
I wasn't. I didn't talk the entire time, which probably says something about the movie. But then the other thing is they were really inconsistent with when they remembered that technology wasn't something that they could use. Like, they were like, we need to use this diesel train, but let's bring in planes, too. And then, but this time we're going to eject, so we're sort of learning that planes don't work.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well,
to be fair, that wasn't the movie forgetting. That was literally the people in the movie forgetting. Like,
yeah.
That, and there's a slight difference. Like, the movie wasn't inconsistent. It had people using electronics,
well,
and it worked fine.
Like, they had, like, they knew they could halo jump because they finally realized how far they could be from the monster. So they had to keep sending planes at it.
To find where the bubble was.
They had to find the bubble.
So it's like the Zulus testing the range of their enemy's guns by just having their front line get killed.
Yeah.
So I found that annoying and the clapping annoying, but other than that, it was a fine film.
The clapping was fine to me because...
Well, but it brought me outside of the
film. I couldn't clap because my erection was too big at the time, so I would have hurt myself.
Don't flatter yourself.
You are the mean one.
We established that one already.
Yeah.
There was, Nigel specifically complained about it. I won't say exactly what it is, but there's a plot line sequence, whatever, that doesn't actually get resolved. Like, it's a dead end, and you could argue that it was a pointless. But I actually thought that was a benefit, and we were talking about this before recording, is sometimes I like it when a movie has the courage to show you Chekhov's gun, say, this is a loaded gun, and then they put it on the mantle and say, there's that loaded gun, and then nobody ever fires the gun. Sometimes that's really good, because then you're staring at that gun, and then somebody gets stabbed, and it's different. And so I actually like that. Like, the example that I brought up again that I've always loved is the acorns in Willow, where they give them these fucking acorns at the beginning of the movie, and they're like, these are your magic acorns. You have three. You can use them three times in this movie. Exactly three. And then he drops one. One of them doesn't work, and the third one he never uses. Like, it's not a big plot thing. It's just, well, I guess the acorns, whatever. It's awesome.
It's a MacGuffin device that just doesn't work.
And it's cool sometimes. Yeah. It's the MacGuffin, the Chekhov's gun. I like it sometimes when people purposefully don't.
Yeah, I would agree.
I,
and that was totally purposely. It wasn't like they forgot about the plot writing Godzilla. No. They purposely set up this thing and then go, never mind.
Well, and it was important to a couple of things. Like, it's how he got onto.
Yeah, it mission. Got him there.
It got him there. It just didn't resolve the plot line.
The plot line existing was important, but it didn't need to be resolved. And the movie's like, so we're just not gonna.
I like the fact that what we're talking about, the device. And it was like they shook it a little bit, and you could see that it was moving. If they had maybe a couple other guys help out to try to open it,
yeah, like
then it would just open. Yeah. But no, he's like shook. Oh, I guess it's not opening. I'm done.
I don't know if any of you noticed, but at the very end they do show a pry bar sitting like 3 feet away.
Yes, they do.
Yup. 3 feet away.
There was a gap. You wouldn't even have to use the pry bar to open it. You could just shove the pry bar through the gap and just smash the fuck out of things.
Yes. So anyway.
Yeah, I just found that entertaining. There was like a whole crew of guys that could have helped this guy rip off a panel off the device to try to disable it. But nope.
T-minus 30 minutes, so we should probably...
6 out of 10, 8 out of 10 if you already like Godzilla.
Agreed.
Zappy.
Grumble.
What does it feel like to be the voice of positivity and reason? Amazing.
Weird.
It's great.
I can't wait for the internet to turn against us and tell us that we're all a bunch of privateer suckards.
Did any of you guys read the Muse thread? I've never seen people be so proud of someone for speaking the truth.
Yeah, being I understand that sometimes everyone's a fanboy on something, and someone says something negative, and the negative sometimes has valid points to it, and they are fighting the man. And then there's times where being negative is just being negative and not fighting anyone, they're just being little whiny bitches. I'm not saying that's the case now, obviously, because that would be not positive, but sometimes when you're whining, you're not standing up for the man, standing up against a man, you're just being a little whiny bitch.
And when you're being negative, what annoyed me, I will say what it was, but what annoyed me is be negative all you want, but at least... understand causation and admit to it. Like, I'm annoyed in that thread and also in the discussion originally, but in the thread people are still like, well, whatever, like privateer could just say, hey, it's fair use, or people can go ahead and use your IP. Sure, they could, and it might work after a 5-year long drawn out legal battle. You know what I mean? Like, I give Katie shit about Candy Crush all the time. That company is still being sued by King Games because the word Saga is in their game. King Games still has no rights to the word Saga. They know that they're not going to win the court case, but they don't care because they can just throw court cases at people.
They have lawyers that sit around doing that.
It doesn't matter that Privateer Press would win the court case. The easiest way to win a court case is to never fucking have the court case in the first place.
And people need to remember, too, how expensive these are. We got into a previous company they worked at. We got into a... they owned a patent, and another company said that they stole the patent from them. And we ended up winning, but it was like $250,000 later. And to a small company, that's a big fucking deal. They can't afford $250,000. Whereas to somewhere like the Warhammer guys, that's more of a drop in the bucket. Their $250,000 is worth a lot less than Privateer Press.
And there's no need for Privateer Press to burn $250,000 so that you can put a Space Marine helmet on the base of your Asphyxius model.
Yeah, and,
there's like, bigger fish to fry.
Obviously, I'm not making the case that that's how much they would spend.
No, of course.
But court cases get very expensive very fast, and even if you're the winner, sometimes you didn't really win.
That's true.
It's like the quote that the British general made during, I think it was after Bunker Hill, where they're like, a few more victories like this and we'll lose the war.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, scorched earth.
Sorry. All right.
Jeopardy.
Grumble!
Best two convergence casters for tournaments and why?
Mother and father. Mom and dad.
Yep.
I think they fit all the matchups. Iron Mother, especially in her tier, is great infantry control. Yep. If you bring Prime Axioms, if you bring Assimilators, you have a lot of long-range mass infantry removal that on feet turn you're going to kill units. Mm-hmm. And then Lucant with positive charge is just going to murder high armor things.
Plus trying to shoot him as a bitch.
Yeah, I think Mom and Dad are the top two.
Yeah, I would agree.
Grumble.
What is the board game that causes the most fistfights? Nothing personal.
Nothing personal.
Just because that's the mean board game you guys play the most.
No, that's the game that we've always wound up consistently the angriest at each other afterwards.
Yeah, it's nothing. I don't even think the game has mechanics that encourage. I mean,
no, it just is for us. It's the game that makes us all angry.
I think honestly, Terra Mystica with Jim playing.
Well, you just played the once, and that one game was
you guys
bad.
Got so angry at each other.
Yeah, that was to be true, it was 100% of the time that you've played it, but it was also only once.
Yeah, we played the game a couple
times. I played it since then. It's been okay. Just playing some board games.
I'm going to say Ticket to Ride.
With Jim.
The American version?
Yeah.
Any version with five players.
The only time that I have seen my husband call someone a cunt.
That's true.
In the first 5 minutes.
That's true.
It was someone's wife.
That happened. Like, that all
holy
happened.
Holy crap. It was like 3 minutes into the game.
That all happened. I take nothing back.
Man.
So, and somebody who didn't even like realize that they were screwing you either.
I know.
Like, well, that probably
I'm just
going to
go here. You cunt.
I'm having fun. Oh, my God.
Yes, Ticket to Ride serious Miami. Business, bitch.
Say Ticket to Ride Miami.
Ticket to Ride Miami.
Zappity.
Grumble.
What's the best thing about Jeremy?
Zappity.
Chirp, chirp. Grumble.
Did anyone else giggle when Godzilla basically became a giant fly swatter?
You're really, really nice.
Thanks, Ben. You are the nicest person on our podcast. You idiot. That's cool. I giggled. For being an apex predator, he didn't do much predatoring.
No, he didn't.
So I wish after he'd swatted with his tail, he'd just turn around and just chowed down.
That was the other thing they told Jeremy that bothered me. It's like, he's going after his prey. I was like, that's fine that he's going after his prey, but then everyone has to admit that he's a cat and he's just killing for fun.
Yeah.
To be fair.
He does not eat them.
Although, you know what? They never say the monsters are their prey. They say two things. They say that he's an apex predator and that nature has a way to restore order. They are also predators if you consider radioactivity to be prey. So this was more like a lion killing two hyena and then not eating them.
Because the hyena were screwing with his hunting grounds.
That, if you look at it that way, it's not a plot hole. It's because they never say he's an apex predator who eats these things.
I thought that they called them specifically his prey, and so I'd have to rewatch the movie to prove my point.
Let's go do that.
It would be kind of fun. Although to see guys just like kill a guy and then they spend 20 minutes eating it would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That's mowing down.
Just because he swats it and then goes, oh, I'm dead now. If it had been like, oh crap, I broke my wing, and he's like, yeah, welcome to eating you town, population you, and just picked it up and started eating, like
that
ripped its head
amazing.
Off. That would have been pretty cool.
It would have been funny if he started throwing it up in the air like cats do.
I just want to like Saturn devouring his child, like that Goya painting. I want him to just pick it up and just eat its head off.
That would have been amazing.
I like the fact that he's an apex predator swimming around the ocean with ships to his side.
Yeah. I love that image so much. I might think that'd be a screenshot. That'd be a wallpaper for me at some point. It's like he joined the Navy.
Play battleship with that.
I guess I'd follow him around too. Well, he knows what he's doing. We'll follow that thing.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a misunderstood villain. The ones in Battleship. The humans fire first.
Oh, yeah.
They just come down to Earth and they're like, hey, guys, how's it going? And the humans just start shooting at them.
I didn't see that movie.
Same with, like, on land. Like, they go on land and they're like, do-do-do-do-do, and then humans start shooting at them. They're like, well fine, then.
To be fair, they were saved. They're really efficient to, like, spring them all down. But, yeah,
well, you find that out later.
Yeah, I know.
But you find out later that the plan was to invade Earth, but at the time, every single conflict, the humans shoot first.
Yep.
Well, the aliens didn't think there were any threats. I love when they... That movie's pretty dumb.
I should watch that movie sometime when it's free and on Netflix.
It's a good movie if you go into it knowing that it's the stupidest movie you'll ever see.
It's a good popcorn
flick. That movie is on the right side of stupid fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they're stupid bad that you want to see. That's stupid fun that you'll enjoy.
It's for that time when you want to see Rihanna shooting a 50 cal gun.
Yes.
Or an anti-aircraft gun.
Rihanna's now my favorite person after seeing the comparison pictures of I've seen a Britney Spears one and an Avril Lavigne one where, like, they have all the fans, like, posing with them, and, like, they're all just, like, they have that one pose, and then a fan comes in and takes a picture from 6 feet away because you're not allowed within Avril Lavigne's personal bubble, and they pay their $20 and they go away. And the ones with Rihanna, like, she's piggybacking with some guy, she's grabbing this girl's tits and smiling at
she's
the camera.
She's grabbing a lot of people's tits.
She's apparently all about piggybacking and grabbing girls' tits.
There's pretty sure she pays them $20.
But the point is, like, that's great. You know what I mean?
And, yeah, I
it's a mindset, because when I posted on my Facebook, and the mindset was, I know that Avril Lavigne has done a million of those photographs, and she's sick and tired of those photographs.
Sure.
I understand that, but you have to stop. And I do the same thing. I work retail, and people ask me the same stupid questions a million times. And I understand that, but you have to stop and go, this is their first time.
Yeah.
And if I'm an asshole because I've heard it a million times, I'm an asshole. And so Rihanna's like, sure, I've done this for a million people, but this is the first time this person's ever going to get their tits grabbed by Rihanna, so I'm going to make it count.
Speaking of assholes and pictures, newbie, go fuck yourself.
Wow. I was just thinking the same thing.
We're friends.
Oh, yeah.
We're not friends with newbie anymore.
He literally, that son of a bitch.
Anyway, definitely grumble. Snake Plissken, did you expect him to be a bit taller?
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's a reference.
It's a reference.
Katie's confused.
Neither Katie nor Jeremy knows who Snake Plissken is.
I actually do. I just am trying to remember.
Oh my god.
Who is Snake Plissken?
I can't remember. That's the problem.
He has an eye patch.
Did he escape?
Yeah. He escapes from places.
Yes, escape from LA. Escape. Yeah, yeah, okay, got it.
Escape from LA.
LA first.
Right away first.
Why in Highlander do they never mention that they're aliens? Like
Yeah, I like the movie.
Escape from New York was an 80s movie.
Two and then one.
He's the hero in it, Katie. Yeah.
Oh. Snake Plissken is—he's the Highlander.
It's Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Mm. He's also Jack Burton.
That's not helping her, and that's
depressing. I know. Last time I made the Parks and Rec comedy.
He's the dad in that superhero high school movie. Does that help?
That's terrifying.
I have seen that.
He's also a soldier.
Of course, you saw that one. He is a soldier.
And then the sun punch goes, "Wow, you are strong." That's him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that happening?
He was in Death Proof?
Grumble.
He's part of the Penguin Cash team.
Favorite internet flash game?
Does Candy Crush count?
No.
Super Meat Boy.
I don't currently have one.
Yeah, I haven't played a flash game.
Does Flash game mean an app?
It's pre-app.
Yeah, it's pre-app. That's the problem, is I don't really play them anymore.
I have
two ones, like two ones that I like. They're more categories with some examples. The Toss the Turtle style ones, where you just like have a slingshot and then you like can upgrade to a cannon and then you like upgrade the guy to go further. And then also a good tower defense game.
Yep, some of the flash tower defense games are really good.
I actually have one. I don't remember what it's called, but it's a little Greek game, and you play against invading little things, and you have to get your tower from the biggest number to the smallest number before your enemy does.
Oh, I remember you playing that one. I do not know what it was called, because I never played it.
Like, by get from the biggest to smallest, is like Cleopatra's Needles, where, like, you have the... Or no.
They're numbers. I have to find it. It's a doll.
That's him again.
Oh, Andy just gave me a Jack Burton doll. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate this very much.
Zappity. Grumble.
I was showing
the Knitted Codpiece seminar filled up in record time, so what other Gen Con events did you substitute for it?
What seminar?
The Knitted Codpiece seminar.
Son of a bitch! I was going to go down just for that!
I am going to listen to Q&As by Jim Butcher. Although there weren't tickets available, so probably not.
They sold out already?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It was free, so everyone just grabbed it.
Yeah.
I just realized that the Jack Burton doll has got a walkie-talkie.
I signed up.
One of his accessories.
Was it non-War Machine stuff or this?
It was non-war. It was in there, but
I signed up for two War Machine events.
Yeah, I signed up for two Master seats myself.
I'm probably gonna try Masters as well.
I'm not going.
You should go. Sad face. Zappity.
Grumble.
Thoughts on the script pages for the Boondock Saints 3 posted on their page? Soundtrack by Pharrell Williams.
Not seen it, but I'm intrigued.
me too.
I mean, Boondock Saints 2 was... it's not as good as the first one.
Well, no.
Most sequels aren't. We'll see if 3 rebounds up.
Yeah. Cool. It's done by the right people. Zabini.
Inigo Montoya or Luke Skywalker?
It's called... Okay, the first one. It's called Tower Blaster.
Okay.
Inigo Montoya.
That's my answer.
Yeah, Inigo Montoya. Like, I love me some Star Wars, but Inigo Montoya is amazing.
He's pretty awesome.
He is.
Zappity.
I don't think he'd win in a sword fight, though, because lightsaber beats sword.
Yeah. If they both had lightsabers, he'd win.
How many fingers does Luke have?
5.
10, to my knowledge. 5 of his own.
Okay.
Yeah, Katie's right.
If you had to vote cast member off the podcast, who would it be? Wait. By the way, Jeremy won immunity.
What?
That's part of the question.
I vote myself off then.
I would vote off whoever gave Jeremy immunity.
Well, no, it's like Survivor. You have to win contests and you win immunity.
What contest would he win?
The being nice contest.
Being nice contest.
As previously discussed.
Yes, because the guy who calls a new person a cunt on the second turn of Ticket to Ride is going to win the nice person contest.
Hey, if that's the nicest person on our podcast.
Which it is.
And we are the podcast of positivity.
Well.
Think about what the rest of War Machine is.
We can always abstain until next week when somebody else wins immunity and then vote Jeremy off.
I don't think that's allowed.
You can abstain. Have everybody abstain.
No, you gotta vote somebody.
I think you had to vote someone.
They would wing it into a, you know, it would happen.
I don't understand questions like this, quite frankly. It's like, man, I wish you guys would all get really pissed at each other if you answered this question honestly.
Like, yeah, I said I was voting for myself. You all can jump on board.
I vote for Nathan. I vote for Nathan too. Aww.
You whores. Zappity.
I'm Batman.
Grumble.
Audiobook recombinations? I don't get it.
Recommendations.
No, he literally says recombinations.
It might
be an autocorrect.
It must be an autocorrect. Okay, so audiobook.
There was an Onion article today that was the 7 best autocorrect wins, and it was all just perfectly valid conversations, and then under the picture, they'd be like, wow, look at that completely understandable text. That the whole thing was a whole slideshow of autocorrect wins.
I couldn't get it to load.
Oh, so, and then the last one, the guy's like, by the way, I'm fucking your wife. He's like, he got his point across.
Yay! To be perfectly honest, all audiobooks, all books that we have recommended are available in audiobooks.
So. But I would recommend specifically the Dresden Files ones because they're read by Spike.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Grumble.
What's the best underplayed model in your faction?
I don't know. Zappity.
We're running out of time. We have
we do have like 10 minutes.
Well, we really elaborated.
Yeah, we elaborated.
We got to get some recommendations going.
Yeah. All right. So unpainted or painted plays better. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Plays better. Yeah, they're the same. Yeah. No superstition.
Which is more torture? 24 hours of Grease 2 or 24 hours of Brian's mix CD? Grease 2. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'll go Grease 2. Grease I'd watch.
Yeah, Grease I'd watch for 24 hours.
I don't like Grease.
Gumbo.
All right.
I watch Grease 1 a lot.
If Katie had to give up Candy Crush or vodka, what would it be?
Vodka?
No. Really? No.
Wow.
There's always wine. You can...
Alcohol or Candy Crush? You can find those more
you
games.
Can always...
You can play Tower Blaster, for the love of God. You need your booze.
Yeah.
Look who you're married to. You need your booze.
I know. It's a tough one.
Zappity.
Normal. In what order should I watch the good Godzilla films?
All the Millennium series.
Yeah. Any of the Millennium series.
Anyone pre-Millennium are just more goofy, but they're still good. But I watch all the Millennium series.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Have you ever taken an extended break from War Machine Hordes? If so, why? That's a longer question, Alex and JR. And while we appreciate it, we'll answer it next week.
Hey, that's about a half-hour question. You should maybe address that topic.
Why can't I quit you guys?
We're beautiful.
That's true.
We're the most positive podcast out there.
Zappity. 6 horrible games in a row against a great opponent, or 6 great games in a row against a horrible opponent. I would play the 6 horrible games against a great opponent every time.
Depends what you mean by horrible.
Like just got like lost really bad, or like it was just like,
they were a dick.
If the thing is, if it's against a great opponent, it can't be your opponent making it horrible, in my opinion.
Right, and I'd be frustrated if I had 6 games in a row where I made really stupid mistakes, and that's why it was horrible. It would piss me off.
But I'd rather have that than 6 games in a row against a terrible opponent.
Man, I guess so.
Personally,
maybe.
Personally. Yeah.
A duck. A horse-sized duck.
A horse-sized duck. All right. Jeremy and Katie can't make it to the Cedar Rapids for the last tournament. What kind of candy should I get all of the others?
But I'll be so sad, Billy. Bring them back. Bring me back, candy.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm supposed to bring some fat squirrel because somebody's going to trade me a 6 chocolate pies for a 6-pack of fat squirrel.
That is worth it.
I might trade 5 for 5 and drink a fat squirrel myself.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Nice.
Do you listen to any other War Machine Hordes related podcasts? If so, which ones and why? I personally listen to Clockwork Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Clockwork Fox, because it's short and fun. I occasionally listen to the Muse Guys just because it's kind of in the zeitgeist at this point. So I listen to them occasionally. I've listened to Warman's podcast and I enjoyed them. There's probably a couple others, but those are the ones I can think of.
Right, I don't have a cubicle job, so I don't listen to any of them. Sorry.
Fair. I don't listen to any podcast because then I would actually have to pay attention to the podcast.
Every few weeks I try. I listen to mostly what Jeremy said, and the other ones I try to get into once a month or so.
Yeah,
so
there are a lot I try to hit every once in a while.
I try to listen to them. Like, it's not because I don't want to. I just, like, I don't have the cubicle job with headphones that some people have. Yeah.
I listen to other podcasts that are not related to War Machine Hordes. Yeah.
Fair enough.
So I listen to Rooster Teeth and the patch.
Sure.
Zappity.
Grumble.
What nickname should fans of Crippled Systems refer to themselves as? I.e. Deadheads, Trekkies, Cumberbitches.
Cripples.
I like cripples.
Call yourself Crips. And make sure you wander around like L.A. saying, yo, I'm a Crip. And see what happens. Give you a hint. You'll be called a cripple really soon.
Are you saying that we should have some blue colored t-shirts too? Yeah,
I'm a Crip.
No comment from Brian. For the record.
That was your buddy Chris too.
I'm good question, good Chris. Question, no comment.
Zipla.
Zipline.
Zappity.
Go!
Ice cream or frozen yogurt?
Ice cream. Fuck you.
Yeah. But actually, the real answer is gelato.
Just ice cream. Fuck you!
I love gelato.
Real ice cream is always the best.
Gelato's overrated.
Good gelato's amazing.
Oh, it's from Europe. It's better. Fuck you,
doesn't
ice cream.
It's good to be from Europe. Good gelato's good. Zappity.
Gumball.
Hopes and dreams for the new books. Also, when and if do you guys and gals think we will see Mark II? Keep up the good work.
We saw Mark II a few years back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're missing something, or maybe autocorrect. Mark III, I don't know. I honestly think they're trying to avoid a Mark III, and I'm okay with it. Hopes and dreams for the new book is I want that new Nephilim Heavy to be Moloch Karn, but better.
I thought he was talking about the new Dresden book.
I was going to jokingly claim the Dresden book. I'm really excited about the Pig's Caster and the Battle Engine. Fingers crossed.
That Gator Battle Engine. Oh, and the
everything looks, the everything looks great. Really
cool. Hey, yeah. Man, wouldn't it be cool if the Rip Porn was a thing?
Aww. Aww.
Zappity.
Grumble.
The next one is Mark III. He realized he said Mark II. Good job, Brian.
You don't get that back.
What do you mean? Nobody touched you. You dropped your iPad and said, what the hell did you just do?
Jeremy, on your foot. You got my...
Go!
I need to give it...
Siege Pin is Cyborg from Teen Titans. Go. From Teen Titans, go. Like or dislike?
Siege is cool. And yeah, he's the robotic black guy. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's you haven't seen the chibi Siege Pin? He totally looks he totally looks like Cyborg from T-Titans.
That's kind of hilarious.
He does. Yeah.
That is kind of cool. Greatest action movie.
All of them.
Yeah.
How many questions you got left?
That's the last one.
All right.
I've never seen you move that fast.
Very important.
Greatest action film? Flick?
Shoot 'em up's a really solid one because it's honest with itself.
I'm just about to say Shoot 'em up.
Nice. You're welcome.
Crank 2.
Crank 2, even crankier.
Crank 2 is amazing action flick. Try to top Crank 2 or Shoot 'em up.
I'm going to go Die Hard. Classic.
No. That's the greatest Christmas movie.
It is the greatest Christmas movie, but it is a great action movie.
Action movies?
Action movie.
Aren't the Indiana Jones ones action movies?
Well, not the last one.
They're adventure.
Oh.
Yeah. Shoot 'em up. And Crank 2.
Even crankier.
I like the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he was old that we just saw recently.
Jingle All the Way?
No.
The last
That had a great kill. I love when he tackles a guy on a rooftop, shoots him in the head on the way down to the ground, and then lands on his corpse. It's like, good job, octogenarian. Like, you sure showed that guy.
Zappity.
Oh, you're talking about the one where it's like the car trying to cross the border that like just came out?
Yeah, Last Stand. The movie's legitimately decent.
It's a legit crappy 80s Schwarzenegger movie.
Ninja Assassin.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I'll support that.
Yep, there you go.
That was up there with. I almost said Ninja Assassin. Thanks, Katie.
You said the correct movie.
Yeah. All right. Shoot 'em up's good.
Yeah, recommendations.
Pixel Dungeon. It is a free app. It's at least available on Android. I don't know if it's on iPad, but it's a roguelike, which for those of you who don't know means it's a randomly generated dungeon RPG where you start at level 0 every time and you go through and you're going to die 9 times out of 10. So you just go with it and it's a blast and it's free and there's no reason for you not to be playing it.
What's it called?
Pixel Dungeon. It's just like little cute 8-bit Diablo, basically.
So Katie and Brian are immediately checking up 2 points.
I don't know if it's on iPod. We'll know soon enough while Jeremy does his recommendation.
No, I'm not next in the order, so
Katie. Well, Katie was doing her thing. All right, Katie, talk while you're looking on your iPod.
I recommend your game, Species.
Dominant Species. It's a board game, and you can play as a grasshopper.
You can play as a grasshopper, or a spider, or a snake, or a mammal. Or a bird.
It's an evolution game.
How come it has dinosaurs on it, though?
It's both a work. It's both a worker placement game and an area control game.
It's the age of the dinos, and they're dying out, and you're the new dominant species that's coming to power.
That makes no sense by the cover of the book.
I got nothing.
There's Blind Man's Dungeon on iPad. There's
no Pixel Dungeon.
Fair Union.
Yeah. No Pixel Dungeon.
Yeah, it's probably only Android then.
Must be Android only.
Yeah, I have it on my Kindle.
One of five apps.
I have it on my Kindle Fire here.
Yes. All right. Jeremy, what's your recommendation?
Cool. My recommendation is we went and saw The Neighbors, which I enjoyed, but it's not my recommendation. It was good. Well, here's the thing. I can't recommend it because there were some scenes that were really, really awkward to watch as a married couple. Like they go out of their way to make the married couple look really, like, being married looks super, super awkward in that movie. Like, oh man, you can't have sex because you're married. Oh man, you can't do X because you're married. Oh,
mostly
man.
Mostly because due to the baby, not due to being married.
Yeah.
Well, it was that too, but like the combination of having a baby and being married apparently means your life is over.
No, I don't think so. I think they portrayed sex as it actually is. Like, Seth Rogen is a doughy white guy, and he comes across as a doughy white guy. Like,
he does.
They had sex that looked just perfectly like normal sex when she was on top and they were in the chair. Mm-hmm. That looked like just normal sex. The drunken spatula looked like two drunken people having sex. Like, that's what sex looks like. I don't know what you're expecting it to look like.
I feel like there was a study recently that the actual thrusting intercourse portion of sex, like not counting foreplay and stuff, averages between 1 and 4 minutes, like across America. Like,
yeah.
And you know what? Like, you know, you make an event of it with the other stuff, but once you're down to business, like if you're doing a half hour of thrusting, see a doctor.
Or you're masturbating too much.
And yeah. You're killing the nerves.
Yeah. You're killing the nerves. Yeah. The other thing is the one
Wait,
that they...
What was that? Masturbating too much is not a phrase I would normally agree with, but if it interferes with actual sex, you have to have priorities.
Well, it depends on how much you want to not be aware of.
What's too much?
Oh, that should be in the top 10.
The one time that they showed the teenagers having, not teenagers, but college age students, like, he was just thrusting wildly at her. Like,
like a jackrabbit.
Yeah. Like, that's probably what it looks like. Like, they were very realistic. I think that was completely fine and acceptable for them to do.
So what's your recommendation, Jeremy?
I don't know. My mind's broken now. I guess The Neighbors apparently have been talked
apparently
into it.
Apparently it's sex on a chair with her on top, because that's normal, according to your wife.
Apparently.
that's not normal.
I also recommend that for the record, but... You're up, Andy.
My recommendation is going to be Penny Dreadful, which is a new...
Has that even show started yet? That started last week? Okay.
Yep. 2 episodes out right now.
Oh, that was my actual recommendation. Shit, go ahead.
Too late. You're
too late. No, I'm gonna try to steal it before Brian.
No, I'm not.
I have my own recommendation that I'm waiting to bring up for a while.
It's a new show that's on Sci-Fi, not Sci-Fi, but on Showtime. It's kind of in the late 1800s is when it takes place, and it's really kind of toying with all the monster movies that happened during, you know, that would have happened around that time.
Sure. Well.
It's pretty darn cool.
I hear Billy Piper's naked in it, which if you're a fan of Rose from Doctor Who, it's always nice. Although she did Secret Diary of a Cosmo.
Ava Green's in it.
But,
yeah. She's naked all the time, though.
She's not naked in the show so far.
Which is a record for her.
Which is a record. After 300, where she was naked almost all the time, that was awesome.
People said the movie was bad. I don't understand anymore. I'm not confused. I'm not really confused by the reviews of that movie.
But it's Timothy Dalton. Playing kind of like a vampire hunter type guy. It's a good show. Watch it.
Sorry, my actual recommendation that I got distracted from by the conversation, other than Sex on the Chair with her on top, because that's also a good recommendation.
All right, Sex on the Chair with Katie on top. That's his recommendation.
Is Endgame. It's on Hulu, I believe, for free to watch, at least all of season 1 right now.
Didn't you recommend this last week?
No, I didn't. I told you about it.
It's about a chess guy.
It's like a mystery crime drama type show, but it's about a guy who's a chess genius who solves crimes from his hotel because he has agoraphobia and can't leave the hotel.
Many commercials for that while watching other things on Hulu.
Right. I finally decided to go ahead and watch it, and I actually genuinely enjoyed the first three or four episodes that I've watched.
Raylene keeps telling me to watch White because Alan Davis, who's on every episode of QI, he's one of the two that are always on there. He stars in White. She's like, "Have you watched White yet?" I'm like, "No, I'm busy watching Alan Davis in QI."
I've heard it's good, though. That's where I saw the Whites Only.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to watch Ray
Whites
Donovan
only
either.
Or Whites on Hulu.
Nobody wanted to watch what?
Ray Donovan either.
I've heard it's really good.
I've heard it's really good too because I watched it.
Anyway, my recommendation is called Marvel Unlimited. It's an app where you basically can download comic books. But think of Netflix, but for Marvel. So you pay either $10 a month or $70 a year, and you have access. Like, I'm going to read Amazing Spider-Man 1 through current over the next few months.
Wow.
It's all based on Marvel, mostly their superhero lines. It doesn't show you, you can't see like the last 6 months of stuff.
Right.
But I literally have every Amazing Spider-Man on here. I literally have.
So you go from Amazing Fantasy 15 some
series start in the 60s, some series
can you just
only
read
start
the Clone
in the
Saga 80s. Over and over again.
You can pick various. There's various.
Support Ben Reilly. They should have stuck with their guns and kept Ben Reilly as the real Spider-Man.
My friend was telling me about this, and she said that if you're offline, you're limited to like only having 10 at a time online, you have unlimited access, and you can switch your 10 whenever you're online.
It is pretty amazing that it's Netflix for Marvel comic books. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, she was super excited
That sounds really amazing. Awesome.
I've never been into comic books, but maybe I should give it a try for $10 a month.
Jeremy, I will give you a comic book. I want you to read it and tell me what you think of it.
Is it Kraven's Last Hunt?
Yes.
And we
gotta go because Game of Thrones.
And his DVR doesn't work, by the way, so if you're not...
Oh, my fuck. All right, we gotta go.
Thanks for listening!